Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
YOLO, and welcome to another episode of Balls Deep Sports on the Blackout Test Premium Podcast Network. I am one half of the show. It's your boy Rod, and of course, I'm never by myself. I have my co-host with the co-most. What's going on, Justin?
Nigga, fuck you.
All right. Is that some Ice JJ Fish?
That's my shout out to Ice JJ.
Oh, okay.
Fish, my cousin, my, you know, keep it in the family.
Ice J Trill Fish, man. Of course, we also have the third or fourth week in a row now.
Yeah, it's the fourth
some
week
type
in a
of,
row.
This is some type of record for
it
guests.
Is. I'm on a streak. Woohoo!
And this is all just coincidental. Like, that's funny. Like,
yes,
we're not planning any of this. It's just Karen just happens to be here, but it's Karen from the Blackout Test and Lip Smacking Good.
How y'all doing?
Good, good. I know you just got a new episode of Lip Smacking Good out anyway, so.
Yes, I did. Y'all go check it out.
Just in time to promote it.
Nah, Karen doing it on purpose, man. That's her feminism trying to kick in, trying to, you know, force her way on the, you know, equality for women.
So we can talk about girl stuff.
We will watch volleyball. Let me take that back.
I like volleyball. I already told you, I think pole dancing should be an official Olympic sport.
This is at a special time. We normally do these, Fridays at 2:30, but we had to move the show, this week because Justin's, got shit to do. Okay. And, none of your fucking business what it is. But, y'all can, you know, always find it on iTunes and Podomatic. The Blackout Test Premium section and the Rapid Feed, RSS feed and shit like that. So it'll be up tomorrow and people won't miss a beat, but we can't start the show without playing the theme song.
How deep?
You know how when I go in the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's right, Dad.
Why does that sound so quiet?
I'm talking about balls deep.
I can hear it.
Hold on.
I'm talking about balls deep in love.
I have no idea why that sounds so quiet to me. Anyway, make herself mouth salivate. Tyra, are you listening? Not talking, just the tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
Just here dropping off an application. Players in my day
didn't make as much as they do today.
Sorry to hear that. Where was I?
You're talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep. My boy's talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. All right, man. Let's see if we can get into this actual show, man. NBA playoffs has been going on. And I've been enjoying them when I can. You know, we do the show, so some nights I end up missing some of the games and missing part of the games. But I try to watch as much as I can. I thought we'd go through and talk about the matchups round by round, the ones that we have been able to catch some. The Pacers are 1-1 with the Atlanta Hawks.
When I watched that first game, you know how you was talking about how nah, they're going to get it together. You know, they veterans in the gym. You know, they'll pull it together for these young boys. Even after watching that second game, I'm still not convinced they can. Like, I changed my mind. The Hawks, that first game changed my mind.
So you think the Hawks will win this series?
They can win it, yes. If they choose to, they can win it. Because I don't think Paul George going to have another night like he did. You know what I'm saying? Like, he hasn't been consistent enough the past few weeks for me to believe he's going to, all of a sudden now, he's going to be consistent.
Well, now the thing about this is that, there's a huge part of the equation I feel like a lot of people aren't even looking at. And that's that, it is the Hawks. Mm-hmm. So does that change your mind at all?
See, I think the Hawks can still get past the first round. I feel you on that. It is the Hawks.
Yeah, it is the Hawks. Like, I don't trust the Hawks as a brand. You know what I mean? Just, like, I feel like we've been here before. Remember with the Boston series?
Have they ever been here before? I don't know that they've ever been here before.
Yeah, yeah. The Boston series that went seven games when they used to have Joe Johnson on the team. Then the seventh, and in the seventh game, which everybody got hyped about in Boston, they got blown out by 40. Like, this feels like that to me. Like, even if they were able to stretch this to anything, it's the Hawks, and they're gonna look at the front of their jersey some point and be like, oh, wait a minute, what are we doing?
I think they can win tonight. They win tonight. I feel like the Pacers are already fighting in the locker room. I feel like they'll have another fight. And I feel like the Hawks will be like, oh, and Teague gonna get all the shots he want anyway. So far nobody's been able to slow Teague down. Teague only stops himself. So him, Kyle Korver, if he have a decent night, they can win.
Yeah, I feel like no matter what happens, the Hawks gonna be the Hawks. Like, it's just like they just haven't turned the corner enough as a franchise for me to believe in them. I feel like they just gonna get walked down. They're gonna realize that they aren't as good as the Pacers, and everybody else is gonna slowly realize it too. And the Pacers not gonna keep beating themselves against a team this caliber, is my belief.
I hope so. I definitely agree that the Pacers are a better team. Like, I don't think the Hawks are better than them by any stretch. I just think the Pacers, for whatever reason, ever since their trade and Paul George and his issues, and they just haven't been able to function as a team, which has affected them on the court. And they do lose game one to a team like the Hawks. And I think it could affect them losing the series.
Yeah, I just don't think game one is that important, you know? Like, I think it seems important to people, but it's not that important, really. Like,
on a normal team, the Heat losing game one, I'm not paying it any mind. Spurs lose game one, I'm not paying it any mind. But the Pacers, they looking like the Hawks, the way the dysfunction that they have. You know what I mean?
Paul George, even in the first game, had 24-10-5. Like, that was even in the first one. And the second joint, like, I think he hit more of his shots, but it's not really, like, to me, that huge a difference. I just think the Hawks aren't going to always be unconscious like that. Teague ain't going to average 28 for this series. Like, to me, like, that's the thing. When I look at these upsets, I always look at, like, can they do that again? The team that won. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when I saw the Wizards game, I was like, oh, they could do that. Like, that wasn't even that good of a game for them. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't need a whole lot of shit to go right to get that W.
I still haven't seen a Wizards game this year.
Okay.
This year or the year before or the year before that. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the color of their jerseys. I don't know.
What, you stop watching them since they don't do the bullets no more?
I just haven't seen them in a long, not since they had Swaggy P and Blatch together. I just haven't seen them since then.
Well, I don't know, man. I get the feeling like I think when it comes to repeating shit, the Hawks won't be able to repeat what they did in game one again.
I mean, I hope not, because then you have the Hawks playing either Chicago or Washington.
Yeah. I mean, because Paul George, like I said, it's weird that people are being like, well, Paul George is just so much better the other night. Like, he had 27-10-6. Like, it ain't that much better than day one. They just played better defense and locked up, and the Hawks played like the Hawks play.
It's just like anything else. When the Heat lose, regardless of how much Dwayne Wade fuck up, LeBron gets all the credit. Regardless of what Bosh does, it falls on LeBron. So it falls on George. Especially when they lose to the Hawks, it falls on George.
I mean, it does fall on George for any other show. But for Balls Deep, I try to look a little deeper than that, because we're not your typical sports show, man. I don't want to just be like, well, if they lost, then it's the quarterback's fault. You know what I mean? Like, I think them niggas didn't play no D. They had that, you know, same thing that we do sometimes at the gym. You show up at 5. Nobody warms up. You're not really taking it serious. You joke about what happened last night.
Not paying attention.
Yeah, you talk.
Who has those days?
Nobody stretches. And then you lose the first game to a team that's good, but not better than y'all. Just good enough to be like, well, if you're not gonna play no damn D, And if Damon gonna just shoot J's and not box out, and if you're not gonna get out on these threes, you gonna lose. And then you sit down and you be like, damn, it's a 2-game wait. And you start talking about basketball like, oh man, we should have rotated on this. We should have did that. That to me is what happened with the Pacers until proven otherwise.
I don't see them regrouping like we would. Like we'll, like that's the thing. Like,
but they just did regroup. I mean, they got the
day. Did they, or again, as your point, it's the Hawks.
I mean, but both of those are my point, though.
But it can't be both.
Yeah, it can't be both.
The Pacers can't. I don't see them regrouping, and the Hawks having issues. Mm. Like it's either the Hawks being the Hawks.
I think you just made.
Which
a
is
fault.
Worse than the Pacers. Yeah,
I think that's a false ultimatum.
Yeah, what's not regrouping? They lost the first game. They won the second game. I don't think the Hawks will win another game in the series.
Me neither.
But that's the Hawks being the Hawks.
They about to get.
And that's the Pacers regrouping too.
Yeah, they about to get hit with four straight, bro.
See, I don't know. I guess that's where I'm at on the fence, kind of. I don't know if the Pacers being dysfunctional is still worse than the Hawks being the Hawks.
The way Teague
played on that first game, it made me think, well, maybe with the Pacers being dysfunctional, they could actually. Still 4 games.
But the way that Jeff Teague played basically to me means that what we've known all year, a point guard having a good night can beat the Pacers. But Jeff Teague ain't that guy is what I'm saying. Like if you said, hey, Jeff Teague over the next course of the next 6 games. Oh, wait, how many games left in the series? 5? If it goes to 7? The course of the next 5 games, how much do you think Jeff Teague is going to average? I'll be like, not fucking 28.
Yeah, he might get 16, right. 20.
Not that 28 that they need, though. It's that 28 that they need. You know what I mean? Like, he averaged through the season, what is this, 16.5 points, which is, you know, not bad at all. But I feel like for them to win this series, they're going to need him to average like 25 to 30 to win the series because you have to expose George Hill.
Well, they need to have a fight before every game, then, Pacers.
Well, they said they were going to have Paul George check him most of the game, which I didn't see all the games, so I don't know if he did or not.
Yeah, and my thing is that if the Hawks beat the Pacers, the Pacers just going to implode. Like, they just like, fuck it. Everybody, they just ain't talking to each other. Everybody just don't, just... to say fuck it, I'm not coming for the basketball. That's the only way I can see the Pacers not winning this
series. I mean, they obviously have to make some changes over the offseason anyway. If you were GM, what's the first change you make? I mean, you have to make some changes. The move you made before the trade deadline didn't work.
Somebody said in the chat room that the sound's going in and out for them. I would reset, but I don't want to fuck it up for everybody. Try refreshing our browser and then let us know if that worked. But
yeah, because if not, we'll reset.
Yeah, if not, we'll reset it after that.
Is it just me going in and out? No, I'll move the mic closer.
You said sound going in and out.
Probably for everybody then.
They're just thinking this new Spreecast isn't working. So they say it's me going in and out, and they hear crackling. Crackling?
What's a crackling?
I don't know. It's just my mic?
I don't know. I don't hear any crackling.
I mean, I'm the only one that has sound coming through my speaker, so it will be my sound. All right, I'll refresh, guys. Okay. Let me see if that works. Man, that sucks. Man, Spreecast. It's funny because this happens with every
12% up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you did have 12%.
Well, there's nothing I can do about that. But
I know.
It's funny because it's almost like everybody that we have eventually makes a change to their platform and it stops working. Mm-hmm. It's like they just keep fucking with it until it's like, all right, this is the thing that'll work. Now it's at 8%. I don't know. I don't even know what that means. Let me see if that is this better, guys? Is the sound working any better? 1, 2, 1, 2, check, check.
I don't even know if they can.
Yeah, I don't think they heard me when I said I was leaving and coming right back. So they just. Okay, so I guess it's working now. All right, what was we doing? What was I talking about? Anyway, that series is going to be interesting to see if Justin's right and the Hawks end up winning that series.
I hope I'm wrong.
The Spurs play the Mavericks. Why would you hope you're wrong, though?
Because I would ultimately rather watch the Pacers any time of the week over the Hawks.
Yes.
Like prove me wrong with places, please. You know what I mean?
So don't make me right this time.
Yeah, like I don't want to be right. It's just they just look like trash that first game. And they,
I mean, have
they,
we
they
even
look like that walking into the playoffs?
Have we even had this happen before?
What? A 1-8?
No, not a 1-8, but a team that was legitimately fine had a slump in the regular season and then just tanked out of the playoffs. Like, I'm trying to think if that's ever happened before, because I can't think of one, which is why I think I'm picking the Pacers. You know what I mean? Like,
but have you had a team that kind of limps into the playoffs too at a number one seed?
Like, right.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah.
So they'll be.
Well,
the first.
No. That has happened.
Yes, it has.
That definitely has happened. Lakers have done it. Because a lot of teams, and it's not fair, but it's different than what is going on with this. But a lot of teams do the, all right, we clinched first. We need to rest our players. It's not, you know, we're playing some scrub teams. And they do that thing where it's like, well, shit, what are we, 63 and whatever. Let's just tank, you know, not tank, but we're not going to worry about the last few games. And then people are like, oh, did the Bulls fall off? They ended up going 69 and so-and-so. And you're like, well, yeah, they didn't really care. And the Pacers did a mix of that, and which is one of the things that's not fair about what people are saying about the Pacers. They weren't trying the whole time. Like, there was a period where they were like, all right, we already kind of got this. It ain't working anyway. Let's sit our players for the last five games. And people count that as part of, oh, it's a catastrophe.
Well, it counts too, because it was going on for over a month. But you remember we discussed this a while back. They looked like they stopped caring. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, they was losing game after game. It was like, yeah, they do.
Yeah. Well, somebody said Dallas versus Golden State, but I don't think Dallas came into that series limping. They came into that series pretty strong, and Golden State just had the right matchups.
And the other thing is, Indiana hadn't had any really, only person in real injuries is Bynum, so we can't count him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think it's.
You know, I could see a team limping in with a serious injury.
I'm not even just talking about injury. I'm saying they sat dudes. Hey, we're gonna sit Roy Hibbert. We're gonna sit Lance Stephenson. Like, they just start sitting dudes.
Yeah, but that was.
And people was counting that as like part of the losing streak. And I'm saying, I'm not sure if that counts in my opinion, because.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, like, if they not trying, then I can't count it. You know, like, they lost to the Sixers. Like, they wasn't really trying though.
Yeah, the Spurs is the only team you could be like, all right, Pop set two starters and they still lost. What the fuck going on? Cause right. Those dudes consistently get run.
Right.
He literally uses, like, his players, he be like, you on the roster, be prepared to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like you getting paid, be prepared to play. Whereas other teams, like Tyronn Lue for years, sat on teams just collecting the check, mm-hmm. just getting that money. Juwan Howard, you know, for years, just, you know, he might play, they even said it, Rashard Lewis played 23 games last year.
Yeah.
Like, You getting paid all year. Pop gonna make you play. And when those guys play, you still expect to win with the Spurs, regardless of who I do.
I don't know, man. I mean, obviously they're gonna play more games. They play tonight, I believe. So
yep.
We'll see. To me, it seems like a lot of people panicking about nothing for the first round.
I hope they beat the shit out of the Hawks too. Like, I hope I hope it's a 20-30 point victory.
My guess is it goes like 6 or 7 or something. But if it, I mean, it could go all the way up to 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, whatever the final game is, the Hawks will get blown the fuck out. It won't even be fun to watch. Like, that's what the Hawks do. They build your hopes up, and then you're like, oh, wait a minute, y'all the Hawks. So, Spurs playing the Mavericks. It's 1-1. Spurs busted their ass, with a big comeback in the first game. And people was like, typical Spurs. This is why they're so great. And I was thinking, like, what the fuck were they doing down so much?
True.
Like, you know, they were like, well, they went on a 21-6 run in the fourth. I was like, to win by a couple points? That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then they got stomped, by like 15, the other night. So, it's looking like maybe,
I keep watching the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
I keep wondering, why is Pop trying to prove he's right about Ginobili so hard?
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like he's still mad. And it just remind me of the whole Steven Jackson, like Pop just really trying to prove, like, I'm going to make y'all see Ginobili still that dude. Mm-hmm. And when I watch him, I'm like, another turnover, crucial moment.
Yeah, Jackson would have made a difference.
Brick City, right after the turnover. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, oh, now your man's scoring too? No, oh, that's two, oh, threes for your man. You supposed to be D'ing up. And it's just, he just seemed like such a liability. And it really, to me, he's hurting the Spurs more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Than just being outplayed.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ginobili is one of those people that's completely overrated at this point. And Pop is holding on to that legacy, man. Like, nah, he's still good, y'all. I'm such a great coach. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just think Spurs are going to be fine because I feel like they have superior coaching.
True, but they're still born to watch, but true.
And I feel like their young defenders are better than Dallas. But I will say there's cause for concern, man. The first game they got 90 to win. Second game, 92 and a loss. Like, they're going to have to put up more than that to beat the good teams in the West.
Yes, they are.
Yep.
So, I mean, when you play Oklahoma City, like, you're not going to be able to, like, you might, that's why they can beat Memphis, actually. You know what I mean? Like, that's why they can beat Memphis when they play them, because, like, they can hold Memphis to 84. You know, pack the paint, keep Zach Randolph from scoring. And then it's like, all right, cool, we just got to put up 90 points tonight. That shit ain't going to work against some of these teams that get out there and run. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so that's what I think about that series. The Heat play the Bobcats. I mean, this is what I thought it was going to be, why I didn't want to play them.
Yeah, an ass whooping, and we're not going to win the game in this series.
They only won by 4 last night. But Al Jefferson's playing hurt. Dwayne Wade seems to be healthy. Like, just nothing but bad news for Charlotte, man.
Man, that yes. Al Jefferson injury was fucked up. It came at the worst time.
Literally, yeah. He made it through the whole season, and then boom.
Because the thing about it is, even when he got hurt, when I was watching the Bobcats, I was like, while they don't look nervous, they look confident, and they look confident because they look prepared. Mm-hmm. Like, they out there running their sets, they making crisp passes. Like, they're doing the best they can against a superior team that's way better than them. Mm-hmm. And they holding their own. Like, they actually had the lead, like a decent lead for a majority of the first half of that game, and like, they just look crisp and prepared, man. The coach for the Bobcats is, to me, you know, I wasn't sure what he was going to do, but he seems to be a pretty good coach.
Yeah. Well, I trusted in Jeff Cho, Rich Cho, who put the team together. The new coach is dope. The players they got around them are great. Playing hard every night. Kind of glad they get to get their talent on display, even if it's against the Heat. But I still had a distinct feeling like, if we would have ran into any other team, we'd at least win 2 games.
I think they could have won 2 against the Heat.
I know you do, but for me personally, it's like, I would have felt lucky to win 2 against the Heat, honestly. Because at the end of the day, I have so much respect for LeBron James and what they're doing there.
But that's the thing. LeBron would have had to been LeBroning.
Yeah, he don't have to right now because we really don't have the horses to do it. But I feel like if with the Heat, I wouldn't have predicted wins against them, but I would have, you know, been okay. I would have been like, oh, cool, we got a couple wins. That's a huge accomplishment. That's like our championship. Yep. But we still might get a win or two if the Pacers fuck up. Because the Heat, I think, really just have an eye on the Pacers. And it's like, the more the Pacers fuck up, the more they're going to start to be like, well, shit, we can take a game off, you know? But my main thing is, I think that if we would have played the Pacers, I feel like we would have snuck out a couple W's easily. We would have played Toronto. I think we would have got a couple because they're so young and new and fresh.
Yeah,
yep.
Maybe even won that series.
True.
If we would have played the Wizards, I think we would have had a shot, you know, because Nene having to defend Al Jefferson is a bigger load on him than having to defend Joakim Noah.
Yep.
Because Noah ain't really got an offense.
none at all.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I just feel like that shit could have mattered, but the injury. And also, I think even with the injury, they could have won games against the other teams. I just think it's a wrap now.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to beat the Heat, because when LeBron went LeBron, he busted, 60, 70, whatever, the ridiculous points on us.
Yeah.
Yep, all by himself. He was a one versus five man show. So.
He had to. But if he not out there LeBroning,
yeah,
the Bobcats easily still a win.
Yeah.
Because they look prepared. Like, they don't look like these other teams, like the Hawks out here, where they just – oh, let's see what we can do.
They're
let's
just out there just to be out there.
Yeah, the Hawks just out there just to be out there. The Bobcats look prepared. Like, they had a game plan. They were sticking to the game plan. It was a good game plan. But I don't get this flying back and forth.
What do you mean?
After the game one, they flew back to Charlotte.
Oh, they did?
Yep.
I don't
because he didn't want the Miami nightlife.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yes.
Man, you can just
they would have lost by 40 last night.
Go an hour away then. Just get on the bus an hour away.
Can't trust niggas. Nope. Gotta go home.
An hour away with no cost? Yeah, no car service?
Can't trust them. Can't trust them.
they millionaires.
Can't trust them.
They'll find a way to get anywhere they want to get to.
Dude, if you give me an hour outside of Miami and I know that we probably supposed to get swept anyway, yes, I'm going to the club. And I'm a grown man. You can't stop me. So, yeah, they had to go home, man. I get it. And that's good coaching. I mean, that's why they only lost by four. If they would have stayed in Miami, it would have been like 27 point loss.
Of course.
That's what other teams be doing. It's staying in Miami and then
I wouldn't like
getting
it.
Blown out that on that second.
I already got my groupies lined up down and everything. I wouldn't like it. I need to stay here in Miami.
But that's your fault. But that's you thinking as a selfish.
Can I miss that flight? Can I miss that flight back to Charlotte?
You could. No.
Yeah, you could.
You probably miss the rest of the season.
Yeah.
If I'm Kemba,
you might as well stay in Miami. They'd be like, why come back to Charlotte?
Right.
Stay out there.
I mean, but that's the good coaching though, is that motivation to get those dudes to buy into shit like that. Cause I feel like, a lot of teams wouldn't have sacrificed like that. A lot of teams would have been like, man, I don't give a fuck. We about to get swept, nigga. But, that's good coaching. If you can get them young black men to believe that they don't need to be out there with all that ass, congratulations.
Yeah, and he kind of proved it. They lost, but it wasn't a blowout.
Right.
And at some points, they was actually in the lead during the game, both games. So that goes to show you that, okay, it's actually working.
I didn't even know they was in the lead.
That's good coaching.
Not for long.
I must have missed it.
Game one, they was in the lead, seemed like the whole first half.
Yeah. I'm talking about the second game.
Yeah, they had periods. But,
like, we missed some of the second half, but I heard we was down and we cut it to four, but we was down the whole game.
Yeah,
we may have been.
That's good coaching, man. I'm just glad. I wonder what we would be doing if Ewan would have got that job.
Yeah, right, yeah. Pat Ewan been sweating over there.
Because a lot of people was upset he didn't get it.
I know. Yeah. A lot of people wanted him to get the job. I don't know that he's a bad coach, but I'm glad we got the dude we got because he is coaching his ass off. Oklahoma City and the Thunder. This has been a big deal because, Oklahoma City lost, the second game.
You said Oklahoma City and the Thunder.
Ain't that the Grizzlies?
And the Grizzlies.
Okay. I was like, that was like a picture of the Grizzlies.
But they are kind of two separate teams if you think about it. You got Westbrook on one team and Durant on the other team. So they are two separate teams. Durant can be Oklahoma City and Westbrook is definitely the Thunder.
Lots of it.
He is definitely the Thunder.
Well, Oklahoma City and the Memphis Grizzlies are playing. Series is tied 1-1. The first game I said this, and I think to his credit, Durant acquitted himself. But I was like, he was struggling through the fourth, and I was like, you know, this is where MVPs take over. You know, I was like, I know Tony Allen's a great defender, but you are the MVP and leading scorer. Like this, it's different for you. You don't get to be like, we can't end the game on, hey, he's just a good defender. Oh, well. Mm-mm. Like, no, you got to take over, Durant. So he did.
Man, no, that first game.
Mm-hmm.
OKC got lucky on that game. Memphis had the game in the lead, and for whatever reason, they kept turning the ball over, missing layups, like just stupid shit they were doing.
Yeah, that's cool. But I have to specifically point out that Kevin Durant went the fuck off in the fourth. Like, coincidentally, at the same time, he managed to start hitting shots, getting to the line. Like, I think, you know, you can't, like, skirt by that, because in order to denigrate a man, you need to give him his credit when he does good. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my thing. It's the same thing I tell MT when we beat a team, but then later on we'll lose to a team and he'd be like, y'all some scrubs, y'all terrible. I'm like, well, that's not true. They beat us. So don't just say some stupid shit like that and disrespect your opponent. I mean, unless you think we're terrible, which is fine.
I'm not saying Durant terrible, and I'm not saying he didn't have a good game. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that Memphis had the game and gave it away. Regardless of what, he could have went Superman. Memphis gave the game away.
Yeah, but gave away or got taken away. You know what I mean?
It wasn't on his defensive efforts that with the turnovers. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. He did consistently after they fucked up. He would consistently come down, jump in your face. You shouldn't turn it over. Jump in your face. You should have made that layup. Take this three. Have some pie to go with it. You know what I mean? Like pie. Yeah, you know, you got to have dessert with your meal. but yeah, I think he did that. But at the same time, if they're making those shots, his shots are kind of null and void at that point. It's just he's balling and keeping his team in it, but they wouldn't have won.
Yeah, I think him going 13 for 25, putting up 33 points, 8 rebounds, you know, like, I feel like his role on the team was a scorer, and he was the one who pulled them away in the fourth. You know what I mean? Like, that was, you know, I gotta give a man his props, man. Like, it's hard for me not to, give him his props in that matchup. But all that being said, like I said, it was right after I said, Tony Allen is a premier defender. Kevin Durant got a score on him if he want to keep his label as premier offensive player. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
How many people were the quote unquote Kobe stopper, the Jordan stopper? People, you know, like now trying to get Paul George the LeBron stopper type thing. Like, if that's what you say, then I should not look at the scoreboard and see that when it mattered, dude just scored on you like it didn't matter, you know? Cut to game two.
Not game two.
Like, I was all ready to quit this dude. I said, it's a wrap. Kevin Durant has proven that it don't matter who you run at him. He's going to bust ass. That's why he deserves an MVP. Mm-hmm. And then this nigga got shut down in the fourth by Tony Allen. And, of course, we have to do the same thing that we always do when Kevin Durant fucks up. Blame Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah, he can blame no matter what.
Gotta blame Russell Westbrook. Couldn't possibly be anything to do with the fact that Kevin Durant played badly and was not scoring well. Like, he put up 36, you know, so he got the numbers. But he was 12 for 28, bro. And everybody kept talking about, well, Westbrook shot 28 shots. 28 shots for a great player? It's 28 shots for a great player. I really don't see how that has shit to do with Kevin Durant.
I'm okay with Westbrook taking 28 shots. You know why? Because he's the second scorer on the team.
Yeah, act like he's supposed to be. They act like he is George Paul. Mm-hmm. Made that up. shooting, like, you know what I mean? They act like Larry Jones came off the bench and shot 28 shots. No one's heard of this guy. He's fucking Westbrook, dog. Right.
They do want to give them shots to Perkins.
They got two top 10 players on the same goddamn roster, yet they expect one of the guys to cut his game to where he's no longer a top 10 player.
And
makes no sense.
Is it his fault that he not at shooting guard because they refuse to get a real guard?
It doesn't matter. Even at point guard, he's one of the premier point guards in the NBA.
But that's what I'm saying.
It doesn't even matter. Like, to me, positions are pointless once you get to the NBA, in my opinion. Like, it doesn't really matter. Ballers ball. That's it. You know,
we're saying the same thing. I'm just saying for the people that love to box him in at point guard. Well, he's a point guard. He shouldn't be getting 28 shots. He should be distributing the ball. Like, he really a shooting guard that actually is an excellent point guard at the same time. Mm-hmm. And without him getting them buckets, who else gonna get them?
Right.
Who? You think the coach going to put it on the jersey and come out there and get buckets?
Man, have you seen the play where they were going, like, because this happens a lot, and I feel like we're repeating ourselves, but fuck it, man. Somebody got to be the person to say it. But, like, the plays were, like, they run a simple offensive set where they run Durant off a screen. He just needs to go get the ball. and Tony Allen will bump him and tug him and all this shit, and he'll end up either not coming to the ball, letting Tony Allen get positioned on him so you can't give him the ball, or falling down or some shit. And then you see Westbrook with like 6 seconds left on the shot clock go, okay, let me try to take my man. And then people are like, see, that's selfish. How?
Yep.
How the fuck is that selfish?
He worked the whole shot clock trying to get it to Durant.
Right. So I'm supposed to just throw the ball away into like, just cause fuck it. Like, at least I was trying to get it to you, dog, so you could get 38 shots instead of 28 shots. 28 shots is a lot of fucking shots.
Yes, there
He iced his shoulders. He iced his shoulders and elbows after the game. Let me ask you a question. You know, on the stats where they'd be like, oh, plus or minus this?
Minus seven. Plus 10 the first game, minus seven this game for Kevin Durant.
Right.
And
Westbrook minus one.
Yeah.
Is that Westbrook fault, Durant minus seven? Does that fall on him too? Like, how does that work?
And what does plus and minus mean?
It's too complicated. Oh.
It means he's fucking up the game.
I don't believe in that stat, by the way, but it's basically a, when you on the court, were you fucking up or not? Was the team doing better or not with you? You know what I mean?
And I know they, without Durant on the court, like, they obviously.
Yeah, are worse. Like, I don't believe in that stat because of that, because some shit you hear and you just like, come on, dog. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, when Kobe Bryant's in the game, it's minus. Okay, so you will bench Kobe? Well, of course, I'm not saying that. Right, then shut the fuck up about that stat.
Yeah, for that stat, I'm saying, can you blame Westbrook for that stat? Like, does that stat, does also fall on Westbrook? Because if not, then you have to put all of it back on Durant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which goes back to what we both saying.
KD.
He got to get the ball. Go get the ball.
Here's the one stat that I'm talking about. This nigga shot 28 shots. When is an elite scorer getting 28 attempts not enough? What the fuck happened to everybody? Like,
they get mad when Kobe shoot over 21 shots.
Yeah, I was watching TV like, so when did we decide that shooting a whole lot of shots is somehow not enough for a dude that's supposed to shoot a whole lot of shots? Like, I don't understand. Like you said, if it was Kobe with 12 or 28, they'd be like, why didn't Kobe pass? It's like everybody thinks Kevin Durant is really that little kid that he plays in those fucking commercials because he wears a backpack and he won't brush his hair for it. That's stupid. He's a grown ass man, and that was a bad game for him. The end.
Mm-hmm.
28 goddamn shots. I was watching TV like.
He took 25 first game.
Dude, but he hit 13, right? Something like that.
Yep.
Like, and that's the difference between shooting like 52% and like, fucking 40, you know what I mean? Like, it was just one of those things. I'm watching the game, like, as I'm watching, I'm like, well, clearly this isn't Russ's fault, so it's gonna suck for Kevin Durant. And then I turn on TV, man, you know, I put it on TNT and shit, and Charles Barkley's like, Russell Westbrook shot 28 shots. I was like, what the fuck did you watch, dog? Like, why is that even a thing you're looking at? You know what I mean? I'm looking at a dude that got shut down by Tony Allen. You know, and a dude that was literally falling down on the ground.
It don't matter.
He fell, dog, and was like, and didn't even get up to get the ball. He was just like, oh, well, I guess that's the end of this play. Don't do what you're going to do, Russ.
Well, they just lay down and took a nap.
Yeah, they just lucky Russell Westbrook got one of them faces, man. he didn't have that Voldemort face.
Oh, you know the face he make, Karen. Yeah. Whether he happy or sad.
It looked the same.
Yeah, this dude has a face.
He got that Voldemort face, man. He can't help it. They are so lucky he has that ugly ass angular face. Cause if he had like a nice looking face, people would be like, it's not his fault, but cause he got that face, they're like, I don't like that punk ass nigga anyway.
Mm-hmm. They look mad all the time.
Toronto Raptors played the Nets. It's 1-1. Raptors looked nervous as shit the first game.
The Nets did what it was I said they was going to do. They was going to run that old man game mm-hmm. on them.
Oh, they did.
And that's what they did the first game.
Yep. Now, I will say this, though. Watching the game, this is a classic. Don't let these young boys realize that they better than you. Because I was watching the whole first game like, man, they better keep them down 10 points. Like, you know, you let them get, like, you once you let them get close, somebody better step the fuck up, because it's that moment where it's like you can lull a good team to sleep by not playing too hard, but kind of, you know, by disguising your playing hard as not playing hard. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing that. And then Toronto, like, finally got a couple young boy plays, like crossovers, dunks, you know, plays where like young dudes do those shits to young old dudes all the time. And you just gotta ride it out, you know, and they did that in the fourth quarter and they got real close. Like, I think they just fucked up like one fast break and then like, and it was like a 2-point game and Paul Pierce kind of took over down the stretch because, you know, he still got them old man tactics. But I saw that game and I said, they can't do this 7 times. You know, like 5, they're not going to be able to do this 3 more times to these young dudes because the young dudes going to realize all we got to do is rebound, go to the hole hard and run on the fast break.
Yeah, because they old, so they ain't going to be doing all this running we doing.
Man, they had a dunk in that play in the game too. I watched a little bit of it. Nigga, they had one dunk that just, it had old man like, man, I ain't even fucking with y'all young boys today. like it was just, like somebody just went in and yammed it. I think it was Amir Johnson or whatever. Like, he just went in and yammed it. And everybody on the Nets had the same look like, nigga, I ain't getting in front of that. I gotta go to work tomorrow.
Hey, man.
Got these kids.
Nets could have won that second game though.
They could. Oh, they're gonna be able, they will be able to, they will be in every game. You know what I'm saying?
No, but they, like, they had the game, and I couldn't decide who to be, who really was at fault. Is it Kidd for resting their old ass? Because he took them out in the fourth, and right then, in the fourth, when he took them out, Toronto was like, oh, these old niggas ain't out here hard fouling me no more. They ain't out here running these old man tricks. Lee jump up to, like, 12. You know what I mean? Mm. Or is it Garnett and them fault for saying we not going to rest during the season? And Kia was like, I ain't trying to fight your punk ass. Go ahead and play then. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was Kid, I'd be like, and this is why I was trying to rest you during the season, so that when the fourth quarter came now, you could be like, let me suck it up. Because I got a little extra energy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a valid critique, man. I mean, like I said, to me, I don't care how young, like, I don't care how rested these old niggas is. They still old.
Yes,
and
they
got the one team that I know what they're trying to do because we do it. They got the one team that's young and stupid that they hope they can trick into losing. That's it. The team better than them, man. They are better than them at basketball only because they're young and shit. Do they know they're better than them?
I don't think so. Story.
I don't think they do. I was looking at Terrence Ross the first game like, this nigga look nervous as shit. He out here thinking to himself, I'm playing against Paul Pierce. Oh my God, I watched Paul Pierce. He thinking all that shit instead of just going, I'm gonna go around this nigga and dunk.
Yep.
Like, cause every time they tried something aggressive, it worked, man. You know, like that's the thing about this Brooklyn team. They not out there taking charges. they just winning on old man.
Plumlee, and he hurt. He might be hurt.
But they winning on old man tactics, man. Like, they mixing it in with the young boys, so you can't really notice, but
they working your lack of knowledge against you.
They doing that shit that we do where it's like, you sure you won't take that three, young boy? Go ahead. Go take that bad three then. Are you gonna freeze your teammates out the game?
You know what else that they need to start doing? Mm-hmm. We'll be like, oh, finger roll in your face, young punk, your face.
Right. They doing all that.
We get hype over a finger roll. Mm-hmm. He be like, I just dunked it. So what? Anybody can dunk it.
Pretend like they all joking around and shit at first. And then at the end, you notice that Paul Pierce ain't making no more jokes. He's just hitting shots. He concentrating. What happened to the fun?
It went away.
Yeah. That's what I saw happen, man. But yeah, I still expect Toronto to win, man, just cause. Put it like this. If they don't win, it's because they're young and stupid, not because the Nets, you know, were more talented. It's just these niggas are young. Like,
oh, I forgot. And the shot clock wasn't working the first game, too.
That's
another thing. Veterans, we don't need a shot clock.
They got that extra break.
Yep.
Hey, did you hear that joke Jason Kidd made? He's like, can we do, like, layup lines? and the ref was like, are you serious? He was like, well, my guys are older.
He was serious, though.
Yeah, he was. He's like, oh, we just need to stretch it out.
Yeah, he was
no,
so
we
serious.
Are not doing that, sir.
Yeah, he's like, are you serious?
But when is Joe Johnson gonna show up?
First of all, he showed up. He showed up in game one. That's not fair.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He showed up in game one.
Did he?
Man.
The problem I have with the Joe Johnson slander is this. I'm glad you brought it up, man, because I've been meaning to talk about this.
I don't think he showed up.
Joe Johnson is the most underrated player in the NBA.
Proceed. Do tell.
because the hate went too far. The hate went too far. You know what I'm talking about? He used to be the most overrated. And it was kind of obvious. It was like, man, this nigga ain't good as, you know, to be paying. Cause like, but now when is the last time you've had a conversation about Joe Johnson that didn't end with someone bringing up how much money he make?
I mean, that's a good point. People do like to equate his money to his talent.
Let's talk about game one. 8 for 13, 8 for 8 free throws, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 24 points. That's not showing up. That's showing up, dog.
I want him to shoot 28 times,
come on,
too.
Come on, man. Come on, Justin. Don't raise. Don't,
I want him to shoot 28
don't
times,
raise,
too.
Don't raise the bar on me, bro. So now he got to shoot as much as the MVP of the league. That's what I'm, he is now underrated because of shit like that. You just proved my point exactly.
But I didn't break up his money. I didn't say because he make the most money.
But it's shit like that.
You said because it's implied?
Yeah, it's implied. Like, because if I said, because like the same, by the same mentions, like now it might not happen because I just literally brought it up. But like, if I would have said, oh shit, Paul Pierce had 15. Oh yeah, he took over down the stretch too, then. He was playing pretty good.
He got all 15 in the fourth quarter right. of the last 3 minutes because right. he was shooting
yes,
bricks.
Yes, he did.
He was shooting bricks before that. But like
making
nobody
a house on the court.
Like Kevin Garnett had 5 points. You know what I mean? Like,
I would expect him to have more than 10.
Deron Williams had 24, but it took him 20 shots to get that.
I hate Deron Williams, man.
Look, I've been trying to avoid this lately, but.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, Justin. That's the most light-skinned stat line I've ever, like, Deron Williams got the most.
E2 Brutus.
I'm sorry, man. Deron Williams has the most light-skinned game in the NBA. Like, I've been
E2
peeping it for a while, man, but like, people was really, like, it was just funny because the announcers were giving him a pass. And I was like, this nigga is shooting everything.
It's not because he's light-skinned, though.
I don't know.
It's not because he's light-skinned.
It was just something about his game. It was too light-skinned,
that's,
man.
That's the only, like, that's the only thing you can say when you can't put your finger on it. Yeah. Oh, because he's light-skinned.
It was something light-skinned about it. I don't know what it was. But it had a real, like, you niggas get these rebounds feel to it. But I was not feeling it. And the thing is, they interviewed him at halftime like he was killing.
I thought we broke through this at the Y.
I thought we did, man. I'm sorry. I relapsed. It was infuriating, man. I was watching the game getting mad at him. Like, why are you fucking up this game?
What you knew was going to happen is him. We talked about it before. He will fuck up this series.
God, what is wrong with him?
Ever since he got Jerry Sloan fired, it's been all downhill, man. He got Sloan fired, Avery Johnson fired.
Yeah. I will say this too, though, for the record, the Nets didn't look like they cared about winning game two either. Like, that's the other thing. Veteran teams do that shit all the time. They be like, we just need to get one game, guys.
Yep, one though.
They got that one game. They was like, and we good. I'm like, y'all can have this one, young fellas. They let them run it up, guys. Let them run. Let's see if we can make them tired. So when they get on this road trip. But yeah, the second game, Joe Johnson also 18 points, 7 for 13 shooting. I mean, dude is so underrated, man.
Deron Williams, he the one getting all of Joe Johnson extra shots, though.
Yeah, I mean, 5 for 15. What is up with this dude? Stop shooting so much. God damn. But yeah, I came front, man. When I was watching the game, I that was my first thought was, why is your game so light-skinned?
Is Andre Kalinko hurt?
I don't know, man. He old, though. He old.
Is he that old?
He is, man.
I just remember him from the Jazz, too, and I liked him then.
You know what it is when that nigga was on the Jazz, nobody cares. You only see him if he makes the playoffs. You see him for however many games in the playoffs, and that's it. And so I think in our minds, he exists in like a time vortex. Well, we just don't count like 8 years of his career. But they haven't.
I know what it is I liked about him. His nickname, AK-47.
Yeah.
But he didn't like it.
And he had that girlfriend that was like, she'll
no,
let him.
No, sound like a gun.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the nickname.
Oh.
And, you know, he one of them foreigners.
Yeah, well.
One of them war-torn countries.
Remember, he had his wife was like, I'll let him sleep with one woman outside of our marriage once a year. And everybody was like, "Woo, giving him props." And then, you find out that he never used that, which in my opinion means it's bullshit. She was lying. Cause if he never used it, then it's cause he knows she's full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no mystery to that, bro.
Yeah, you're right.
She's just talking that good game. Plus she famous and fine. Everybody knew who she was. Wish that nigga would get caught creeping. She would fuck so many dudes before he got home that day. Like,
we were on set and we just decided to carry over and bring you to the house.
He just come to the house. So we just fucking people, huh? We just fucking people, Andre? Like, what? What's going on here? Nah, it's fine. It's fine.
Tom Cruise too.
Right. I fucked everybody on set today.
Tom Cruise.
But, let's see. Clippers played the Warriors.
I was so upset about that second game.
Well, why?
Because I want the Warriors to win.
I mean, but they up 1-0. Like, they shouldn't have stole that first one, right? I mean,
no, I feel like they should have won it. I feel like they should have won both. Like, fuck Chris Paul.
Okay, man, here's the thing.
I like Cliff Paul better.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, obviously, we agree on those two things, right? But as far as them winning that second game, them niggas was down so much.
No, they got the shit beat out of them.
Yeah, like,
they got their ass whooped.
Okay, yeah, because when you say I feel like they should have won, I'm like, was you watching it?
Like, they started the second game like the first game. They came out sluggish and slow. Like, they forgot how to shoot jumpers, make layups, just crisp passes. They out there playing like these dudes aren't in the NBA as well. You know what I'm saying? And
they don't play defense. Don't play defense. That's every Warriors team in my life has never played defense. It doesn't even matter who the coach is. Them niggas have never played defense.
And I get that. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But then still make your layups. You know what I mean? Like, it's, and I get, okay, Andrew Bogut out there. So what? Boo hoo. Cry me a river. Let's move on. Like, y'all, like.
They lost by 40, man.
Right.
And you know who father was? Klay Thompson. Talked all that shit, man.
Yeah.
Talked all that shit about my man Blake Griffin. Yeah. Blake don't want to hurt nobody. Blake is that dude that just want to come there, play some basketball, get some cardio, and go home.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to talk shit about that dude, and then they lost that first game, and it was his fault. And he was like, oh, okay then. And he went ham.
Let's look up how many points.
That nigga was dunking. It felt like he dunked every play.
He did.
It felt like it. 35. It felt like he had 70.
Klay Thompson was 2-for-4.
Right. So
what? This nigga has 7 points.
First of all, I hate this shit about basketball. Don't talk shit to my man. Okay?
I do this shit all the time.
Yeah, if you're going to go check, like, you're welcome to switch me in and check the dude I'm checking if you think you so fucking good. But if I'm David Lee, I'm looking at this nigga like, what's wrong with you?
Dude, shut the fuck up.
Like, I don't want to get the 35 on me. He could get 35 anytime he want. Don't motivate this motherfucker.
Because now you got me looking bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I love doing it at the gym. It's so fun.
Blake went 13 for 17. 35 points, 6 boards. Like, what? And he went 9 for 10 for free throw, and he never hit free throw. He was mad.
Plus 22.
Yeah.
I'm going to concentrate today.
Fuck that noise, man. That's all, like I said, that shit is all on Klay Thompson's dumb ass for speaking. Meanwhile, he going to shoot 4 shots the whole game. You only shot 4 shots, dog. Shut the fuck up.
2 out of 4 at that.
Yeah.
Like,
God damn.
That minute he made the first
game. Yeah, we 50% on the floor.
Yeah. What is wrong with him, man?
Hey, but you came out there talking shit. And then
50%.
Plus, though, I talk shit and won't even shoot the ball at all. So.
Yeah. It's rare. It's one of the few things that I will be like, Justin, come on, man.
But the first game, 7 for 20, though, which is worse than the 2 for 4.
Yes, it is.
But, you know, I would.
He really jacking up bricks.
But 7 for 20. I would take because it means that you was trying to match him. Like, you was trying to be somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know it sounds weird, but 7 for 20 means you tried to be on Blake Griffin level to be like, see, nigga, I knew what I was talking about. You sorry, and I'm about to get these buckets. Now, it didn't happen, but you tried.
You attempted.
The second game is like you gave up. Like, man, shit, we losing. I don't want to have nothing to do with this. I only shot 4 times. Don't blame me.
Man, I don't know how they won that first game. I'm looking at the points line now. Iguodala with 8 points first game. David Lee had 20. Okay. He got the 20. Thompson with 7 for 20. Like, come on, bro. Steph Curry, 6 for 16.
These niggas don't play enough defense to shoot this bad.
Man, when they get home though, when they get back to Golden State,
it's gonna be crumb. I mean, but that's another reason I think they tanked that second game, because they rely on their home crowd a little too much, in my opinion.
Oh,
and if they drop one of them games at Golden State, they right back to being in trouble.
But, yes, they are.
And I get knowing your sweet spot at home on the court, but
yeah. You gotta
play away too.
Yeah. The Wizards beat the Bulls, and Justin was completely wrong about this series.
Yeah, I was.
So that was interesting.
I might actually watch one of their games.
You know what I realized, man, and I don't know if anybody else knows this, but I think the Bulls missed Derrick Rose.
Of course.
Taj Gibson need to get the fuck out of there as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I like him and Noah, but I think Noah likes in Chicago, wants to stay, doesn't ever want to leave. Mm-hmm. I think Taj is a dude that he'll go wherever they paying. Show me the money, and I'm out. And I'd like to see him on another team where he can get him a ring. I like that dude, Taj Gibson.
I like him too, man. Although I feel like something's wrong with him. You know how you can't put your finger on it? Well, you just don't trust somebody? I feel like something's wrong with his game. Like, we just ain't picked it. We ain't figured it out because we don't watch him enough.
Yeah, that's something why he don't get to start and play majority minutes.
Yeah, it's something. He got some kind of shortcoming that, because I don't watch Bulls games because I find them horrendously boring.
Yeah, it's like them Spurs games.
Even with Derrick Rose on the team, I used to find them kind of boring.
I didn't watch him then either.
Yeah, it felt like just watching one nigga shoot all the shots anyway. But now it's even worse because I'm like, I don't want to see any of y'all niggas play. I'll be watching the highlights, and Taj Gibson be all over the highlights. So I'm like, is he good or is he not?
You know what it is? He tricking us.
Mm-hmm.
He the dude that's dunking pregame all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Fancy little windmills, and you be like, "Oh, I gotta pick him up."
Yeah, everybody pick him up next, but then when you see him, just you notice you never saw him just like working on jumpers.
Yep. Can't dribble the ball. Yeah. Can't do.
Never saw him cross anybody.
But I'm gonna tell you who dancing with you and these Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Robinson.
Yep.
Nate Robinson is at home dancing.
Like, see, I told y'all DJ wasn't the answer.
He out there dancing like, y'all need me now.
Give my job back.
I hate it out here in fucking Denver.
Yep. DJ Augustine was actually balling this series, though.
Yep. But he's not Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
No. Nate Robinson not only was scoring points, but he get the whole team motivated. Mm-hmm. And he play shut down D pretty much. Because he will foul the shit out of his man. You can't dribble around him, nothing.
They ain't give you 6 fouls for nothing.
I think the Wizards just honestly are a better team than the Bulls. Cause they got that young backcourt, man. Bill and John Wall are good. You know what I mean? Like, people just ain't been watching them all year. People been downplaying them, but they haven't been healthy all year. They finally got healthy at the right time, opposite of the Bobcats. And, you know, Chicago, normally Joakim Noah is one of those dudes that he's everywhere, making everything tough.
Yes.
But he can't do that against Nene, because Nene just like busting his ass. And it's like, you better stay home on your man or I'm going to get 30. So what you going to do? Pick a spot.
Man, Nene been in the league long enough to know if my man playing help D, I go to the basket, throw me an easy bucket. Like, well, he keeping it smart and simple.
If you look at him, though, he hitting J's, which I think is.
That was just that first game, though.
But I'm just saying, dog, you don't got to. J's are like one of those things that you ain't got to hit a lot.
No.
You just got. But when you hit a couple, it completely changes the defense, because it's like, I guess I got to get my ass out here. You know what I mean? Now, you might not hit another J because they coming out there, but he coming out there.
Yeah, no, I get it. He making it so you got to respect his game.
Yeah.
But he hitting J's because they was leaving them open. Right. And you hit a few layups, man, that basket gets so big to you.
Yeah, that's true too. That's true too. But I'm just saying, like, he going to get his layups because he's a big man. Like, he going to get them anyway. But when he dropped a couple J's, it changed everything.
I think he hit a 3 the first game too, didn't he? Didn't they say he hit a 3?
I don't know, but I know second game.
On the highlights?
Second game, he did go 8 for 13. So, I mean, that's still a high percentage. I'll check the first game stats for it too. But yeah, nigga, just, this nigga was in J's, dog. Changed everything. Everything you thought you was going to do, well, y'all who was game planning, it goes out the window because you're like, yeah, man, we might should check him.
Yeah, and that dude has what Roger called a dude from North Carolina, them quintangents.
Quintangibles.
Yeah, quintangibles.
Quintangents. All right.
Go ahead. My bad. He be everywhere. Like, he could do a lot, and he could make it where people have to adjust around you.
Yeah. No threes, by the way, Karen. No three. I mean, Justin. No
three. I'm about to say, what?
He ain't hitting threes first game. All right, last series, Rockets in the playoffs.
My favorite and best series. They keep me up at night, dog. They keeping me up at night.
This is the funniest series in the NBA right now.
Period. Two games come on too damn late.
Bar none. Like, I would say second funniest is Nets Raptors because of the hilariousness of the light-skinnedness of Deron Williams and the old man tactics. But, nigga, this series right here, one, it feels great to have been on the LaMarcus Aldridge bandwagon all year.
Nigga, who you telling?
You know what I mean? I'll be like, look at him. He doing it to y'all, too. Thought it wasn't going to happen, Tom. Didn't you? And then, especially when they cut to Barkley in the studio, he be hating. Well, you know, if they shoot too many jumpers, if they going in, they going in, baby.
I mean, but as close as he is to the basket, they not even jumpers. They like layups to him.
I mean, but he
That's
was
his spot.
He was hitting threes.
He been hitting them all year, man.
Hey, but he was shooting 40% from three before this. That nigga hitting threes like, oh, you ain't coming out here?
Okay. Like,
dog, this shit is amazing to watch, man. Cause Lillard not even doing shit.
Man, I told you we had to pick our top five at that time. Yeah. And I put him on my squad.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching him for a while.
You put him on your top five players of all time in the history of the NBA, though. I just want to remind the audience.
Right. Yeah. But look at what he's doing. Even if he fuck up for the rest of the playoffs, I'm okay.
He had the first back-to-back 40-point games in the playoffs since Tom Brady.
Tom Brady don't even play basketball.
This shit crazy. This shit is crazy.
Right, that's how long it's been.
I know that much.
That's how long it's been.
Right. He could fuck up for the rest of the playoffs, and I'm okay with that.
Dude, 46-18. What?
Ooh, he was killing them.
And Dwight Howard can't do shit about it because he can't be out that far.
He can't do shit.
But like, if he was a trill, Dwight Howard would be like, man, I want to check him.
He don't want none. He said it.
He's sitting up there like, man, just let him shoot then.
He'd be like, I'm a double. I'm going to come help you out, bro.
I get the rebound.
And LaMarcus pump fake both of them.
Yeah.
He that dude, man.
They almost lost last night, though, because
that spin move.
that he dribbled out of bounds. But I was gonna say they almost lost really because, and this is one of the things I hate about this tactic. But why don't you do Hacker Dwight when you up?
Yeah, because the thing about Dwight Howard, and I will always say this: if you frustrate him, he is almost like a teenage
he like
child.
A little toddler. He's like a little kid.
If you start fouling him and hacking him and getting his mind off the game, he just panics and he quit going to the basket. He just do dumb shit. And it's one of those things where if you want to be considered the man on the court, and if you want to like win a championship, you got to be like, get the fuck off me, shake him off and go on and play. But he panics like he's 18 years old getting smacked for the first time every time anybody uses those tactics against him.
Now that first half yesterday, he had a great game. Dwight Howard did. He was killing. Second half, I think he had like 6 points the second half.
Yeah, the thing is, he is a big man that you can't give the ball to in the four because he's gonna he doesn't hit free throws. That being said, the Blazers damn sure almost gave this game away.
Yeah, they tried.
Like, they did everything in their power to give it away. And when they were up like 13 with like 4 minutes to go, I was like, just foul Dwight every time. Just foul him. Like,
free throws.
Y'all was doing the shit when y'all was down. Do it now. Like, maybe you could get this up to a 20-point lead with 2 minutes left, and then they can't walk you down. But they didn't do it because I don't think, you know, NBA coaches don't really understand math. Like, so they need to stop talking about hacker Dwight or hacker whoever as a tactic, because if you understand math, you do the shit all the time. You don't just do it when it's convenient for you because you're down. You do it when you're up, too, because it makes it – if it works, it should always work to make it harder for them to beat you.
Yeah, it'll make him sit his ass down.
That and what it does is that you have some people that you know gonna get some scrub minutes. You look at them and go, you use all six of your fouls. I don't care what the fuck your stat lines is. Anytime he touched the ball, you put your hands on him.
I will say this, Dwight, on ESPN, when you click on the Portland-Houston matchup, Dwight is checking LaMarcus. And it looked like LaMarcus about to get him them buckets, though.
But Robin Lopez is the real center. And that watching the game, that's who Dwight was on. But I like I said, man, that's the difference between, to me, those players that have the extra it. You know what I mean? Because, like, LeBron James not going to let Derrick Rose beat them. Like, he going to at least try his hand at it. He don't want to, but it's like, man, fuck. If I got to do it, I got to do it. This is a big man that is giving y'all 40 a game.
40.
How do you at least not go out there in the fourth quarter and be like, let me, like, at least chase him off this jumper or something? Like, this nigga was just looking at him like, that's a good shot, too. That boy pretty good. I'm like, Dwight, get out there.
Yeah, you didn't pay to watch the game like everybody else. You out on the court, dog.
Lastly.
Hey, what?
The thing that actually is making this series the funniest. Mm-hmm. This nigga James Harden, bro. Or as I like to call him, Ames Herring. Ames Herring out here fucking up so bad. Like, he had one of the all-time... I mean, one, he's a terrible defender, which I don't think is a secret. You know, after the 11-minute tape out of him, of all his defense from this season.
Uh-oh.
Everybody 11 was like, minutes? Yeah, it's 11 minutes of him just not playing D. It's obvious he's not a good defender. But he's like the all-time dude at the Y that thinks his offense is his defense.
Yep.
They're not the same.
Like, he had to play this the other game where he didn't even walk back on D to check that Wesley Matthews who hit the reverse layup to basically seal the game. Like, how the fuck you just didn't even come back on D, though? And then he hit a three after that, and it was like, that's one of the all-time YMCA. I got mine. Hey, like, you know he be in the locker room and be like, shit, I had 27. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Right, and then 18 the next night.
Right. You're like, but
it's six.
James, what you talking about, dog? We lost because you gave your man 17 and he normally scores 4 points a game.
Man, I went 6 for 28.
Shit, I was hitting mine.
I was killing. You see me at the free throw line killing?
In the fourth, I hit that three. But, but James, you gave up 7 points in the fourth to a nigga we've never heard of.
You know what I can't wait for, man? Is Patrick Beverley to have a knee injury that he had to sit his ass down.
Nope.
For the rest of the year.
I love Patrick Beverley. Nope. Love him. One of the funniest players in the NBA. Cause you know why? He's annoying as shit.
I don't mind him being annoying.
And right. Well, obviously I don't either. That's why I think he's one of my favorites.
But don't injure me being annoying.
But here's the thing. Everybody keeps saying like, well, he's going to hurt somebody and he's, you know, somebody's going to get hurt.
He already hurt somebody.
I think that he don't care.
Does he play with no control or something?
And people, control. He be out there gooning.
Yeah, he know what he doing.
Cooning and gooning. He be out there throwing niggas down. Like,
he be out there like them hockey players.
If he, like.
He'll leg sweep you. He do whatever. Yeah,
like, if you throw
and
the ball.
Nobody punch his ass in the face.
Well, see, that's the thing, Karen. Right.
Fucking people up.
That's exactly what I want to get to, Karen. I triple dog dare you to try to put your hands on Patrick Beverley. He been fighting his whole life. You can see it.
I see what you said. Cause he doing that shit asking for a fight.
He played the same way at motherfucking Park Row Park as he would play in game three of the first round of NBA playoffs. And I think he would start smiling like, this is what I really came here for anyway. Go ahead. Go ahead, young punk.
And that's why I just want him injured. Specifically a knee injury, the same way.
People like him don't get hurt.
He already got a meniscus tear.
And what is he?
He's still out there playing.
Right. They don't get
getting
hurt.
Getting on my fucking nerve.
They don't need the same ligaments that other people need. He's like, I don't even use that.
He's freaking magical hate dust on his knee to get better.
He just tied like a rope around it. I don't need no ligaments.
A rope.
All I'm out here to do is fuck up shit for you. I don't even care about me. Think I worry about my jump shot? I gonna shoot no fucking jump shots. I'm out here trying to get these fights started. Yeah, man. Because people keep saying exactly what Karen's saying on Twitter all day. Yeah, man, just turn around, punch that nigga in the face. Okay, you think that's gonna be the end? You think he's gonna punch him in the face and he's gonna be like, oh, I learned my lesson?
He might bite your hand while you're swinging the
That nigga played like in somewhere in like the Ukraine or some shit, man. That nigga don't get, and before that, like Alabama. Like this dude been fighting his whole life.
But my thing is this, if he's purposely and strategically doing this shit, where all the rest be like, motherfucker, don't do that. This is the money you out here fucking with. You fucking everybody's money up because you want to fight. I didn't pay to watch somebody fall on their face because you want to foul them.
Because you're fucking up his money. See, that's the thing. Micro versus macro, right? Maybe he's fucking up the league's money by putting out Russell Westbrook for a year.
Yes.
But if he didn't put Russell Westbrook out for a year, he'd be fucking up his money. He not good at basketball. Right.
Hey,
he good at being annoying.
He's like, what's best for me?
He good at being annoying and fucking other niggas up. That's what he good at, and he knows it, and he sticks to that. He's one of my favorite players now.
But I love Damian Lillard's temperament because I was watching him. Lillard, like, it's not even it bothers me more than it does Lillard. Like Damian Lillard is like, I'm about to cross you.
Well, you
up.
Know what?
Like you trying so hard, I'm about to make you fall on your face, crossing you up.
The difference between Lillard and Harden is this. I mean, Ames Harden. The difference between Lillard and Ames Harden is this. Lillard can actually do other shit than just score. Like last night, he had a bad shooting night, but guess what else he got? 11 assists and 8 rebounds.
Yep.
Let's take a look at Ames Harden's, stat line here. Three rebounds, 4 assists, 5 turnovers.
That's 6 personal fouls.
Yeah, 6 personal fouls.
The nigga fouled out the game.
Yeah, and he shot terribly.
6 from
and,
okay.
Yeah, shot more shots than Damian Lillard. And, shot his team out the game, played terrible defense, didn't do much else on the court. That's the difference. Like, that's the reason Lillard isn't going to be bothered as much as by Patrick Beverley is like other players, because he's like, I do other shit than just shoot a bunch of shots.
Yeah, but I'm saying he shows no level of frustration.
Yeah,
because
he does. One, he knows that's what he wants.
I don't have the temperament for it.
Yeah, I know you don't. You're not built like this. I do this all the time. Like, I have dudes. There's a dude the other day that ran into my fucking calf. It still hurts. He spent the whole time trying to like start something with me. I don't even know what his problem was.
Is it that other white dude?
No, it was a black dude. You don't know him, young football player dude. And I was like, dude, calm down, man. It's just like, what are you doing? I'm not even playing hard. He's like, man, you gonna play me? I was like, why are you acting like this? My team is going to beat you, and this is getting stupid. Like, you're never gonna score. You're not good. You're just gonna keep running into me. Like, you might hurt me or some shit. And, sure enough, man, he ran into my calf and fucked it up a little bit. And, when I got the ball on offense, everybody like kept throwing it down to me, trying to like get me to post him up and like bang him. And like, I would get it, you know, establish position, make a strong post move. And then someone would come down and help him because he's short. And I just kick it out and we get an open jumper. Now, any other nigga would have been out there shooting a bunch of shots, double team. Trying to be like, see, nigga, you can't stop me. Well, I was just like, nigga, now you made your team worse because I'm actually going to play and we're going to get open threes and beat y'all even faster. That, to me, that's Damian Lillard. It's like his mentality was not, oh, let me take this personal and try to take Beverly out, you know, like physically or score a lot of points. He was like, man, let me just find some other shit to do.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I'm just saying he had to catch an errant elbow, or as close as he gets my shoulder to his jaw.
Yeah, that's
just
what
he wants. Just to make me feel better, and they're not gonna call it.
Yeah, that's his pleasure. That's what he wants, and they're gonna call it. They are gonna call it. They're gonna call it offensive or technical on you, because that's what these annoying niggas do. That's what annoying niggas do, man. You retaliate, and everybody. See, the thing is, everybody's watching Damian Lillard, waiting for the retaliation. Cause even the refs, everybody like, I know this annoying.
Rajah Bell fucked it up for everybody.
What you mean?
When he used to bother Kobe and Kobe started hitting niggas with the, Russian sicker niggas.
Hey, but what happened when Kobe retaliated?
Throat chops and everything.
But what happened when Kobe retaliated?
I think he got a fine.
He got texts. Like, they waiting for Kobe, cause it ain't in Kobe's, natural whatever to like be elbowing niggas in the face.
it was so beautiful. And he got but that same year, he got a lot of dudes back there, yo.
The other thing too is this. They might be giving Patrick Beverly texts and flagrants. He don't care.
He's not good at nothing else to care. He's like, give him to me.
No, I know. Yeah. I recognize that's his specialty.
Right. Like, I'm just saying.
That's how he got in the league, and that's how he gonna stay.
Yeah, I'm just saying, more importantly, Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, whoever, you care about basketball. So, like, you're never gonna be willing to go as far as Patrick Beverly. Like, Patrick Beverly, like, grabbed Russell Westbrook when he tried to call timeout in this game back when they played each other.
Yeah, I seen that.
And Russell Westbrook like pushed him up off of him, but he didn't really fight him because he was thinking about basketball. He's like, oh, you're gonna hurt me and I won't be able to play basketball.
Yep.
But Patrick Beverly was thinking like, man, I wish you would. I wish you would. I will fuck you up with these hands.
Man, he got PTSD, man. He gonna fuck somebody up.
Yeah.
He gonna fuck somebody
up. It's a wrap, dog. Like, I mean, they not gonna win. Like, you're not, Patrick Beverly not the kind of dude that should ever star for a good team. Mm-mm. So like, Houston is doomed. Like, they didn't even have that nigga in the game at the end. Like, it was Jeremy Lin and James Harden and shit. But like, it's just, he a goon, man. He not there for, but it makes the series so fun between him, Ames Herron, and LaMarcus Aldridge like getting off. This series is the funnest series, man. I wish they could play every night.
Yep, I love it.
Yeah.
Especially seeing LaMarcus. Did you see his daddy pop that collar? He popped that jersey?
Yeah.
I loved it, man.
Oh, wait. And the comedy of Dwight Howard. Because he's just something funny about watching him. Even when he's playing good, it's just like, this nigga sorry.
Well, he had half a good game.
It just don't matter. Like, I'll be watching him the whole game like, you sorry. Like, it don't even matter. Like, he be playing good and I'll be like, you're so sorry, man. Look at you. When they threw it to him in the fourth quarter. Where like James Harden didn't run to get the ball at the right angle, and then the second dude didn't get it, so they threw it down to Dwight Howard, and that nigga tried to make a post move, and luckily he got fouled because he was gonna fall, man. Like, he fell backwards towards the basket, into Robin Lopez, and Lopez like wrapped him up. But I was like,
for no reason, because he wasn't gonna make that shot.
He was not gonna make that shit because he couldn't do no post move.
Did you see when last night he got that dunk in the fourth? Like, he was like, give me the ball.
Yeah.
But then right after that, who was that? Wesley Matthews scored that layup on him. Like, mm-hmm. fast break. Like, no, how about you get back on defense?
Get back on D, nigga.
Like, guard the basket.
Yeah. Go be big.
That's be big.
That's what they pay you for. Should have stayed. Yeah. I was like, I looked at A's Herron's stat line. I was like, you do realize that, Dwight could have stayed in L.A. and played with Kobe for this shooting.
Yes.
Like, he could have just stayed in L.A. Better weather, better winter.
He can't never admit it.
Yep.
He can't admit it, no.
And I'm talking about Kobe with the knee ligament injury.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, he could have played with the knee ligament injury and put up James Harden's stat line. That ain't shit.
I know he looked at this whole season like, damn, Kobe was out again. I'd have had the whole squad to myself again.
We got a couple emails. These fouls by my man Prince LeBron. What's good, Balls D Sports crew? More needs to be done about these niggas flopping all over the court. I watch every single game one, and these cats are going overboard. It seems as if they are trying harder to draw fouls than actually make the shot. Well, that's Ames Herron's specialty.
That's what he does.
Ames Herron will completely fuck up a good, easy, open shot to get to draw a foul that is like, nigga, why?
Yeah, you fucked up your shooting motion.
It used to happen exclusively in the paint, but now niggas are fouling after every jump shot attempt. They will over-exaggerate a bump and purposely fall out of bounds with no worries of a turnover. I've never played in a game where dudes have hit the deck so often. It shows that the biggest flaw in the NBA is in the NBA officiating all along. The refs are always called the reaction and not the foul. It's okay to be, it used to be okay until niggas start taking advantage of boy Prince LeBron. Well, people have been doing this for years, you know, like, I don't think it's new necessarily. Mm-hmm. But like, I remember Reggie Miller, like, basically started the trend of the jump shot, kicking your leg out and trying to get a call.
Draw that foul.
And it will work because refs are human. The one thing I wish you could do is on some of these replays, I wish they could change calls where it's like, we're not just looking at if it went out of bounds, but like if there was a foul or not a foul, they should be able to throw that in there. Like, Chris Paul had a play where they had to do the replay to see who the ball went out on. But in the replay, it also showed he got smacked upside the face. Now, I was happy.
Yeah, I was okay with
it. Me and Justin were high-fiving. Like, yes, finally, fuck this nigga. But in all fairness, what should have happened is they should be able to look at that and go, yeah, it went out on him, but he got slapped in the face. So that's two free throws. Like, that's a foul.
Reason I was okay with that non-call, too, is because, like, two plays before that, I think it was Hibbert. Lee or somebody got called for a foul when they were just falling forward, and they got called for a foul. I was like, he didn't even touch him.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
It was like a makeup call.
Also,
Jermaine O'Neal was who.
Chris Paul had just drawn one of them bullshit foul calls, too.
Yep.
I think, honestly, man, the thing I wish refs would stop would, like, I wish if I could change one thing in the NBA, the thing I would change is they should be able to say, look, as a ref, when you see a guy who's obviously trying to get the foul more than hit the shot, that's a no call.
Yep.
Like, try to hit the shot. Like it's every fan can see it. Every person at home can see it. I know the refs can see it where it's like, look, man, you weren't trying to hit a fucking shot. Like, I will give you the foul if you're trying to hit a shot and you get fouled. But if it's just you jumping into a nigga, pump faking 17 times, like, nobody wants to see this.
No, I know I don't.
You know, I know it's going to help you get to the line, but goddamn, it's annoying, man.
Man, it slows down the pace of the game.
Can we stop the arguing with the refs again? When they going to start enforcing it?
Oh, yeah. I saw a couple dudes get taxed.
I said, it started that up again.
Yeah. I wouldn't say started it up, but it had got to an all time low like 5-10 years ago.
Yes.
And now it is jumping back up, but it was more like, to me, the shit I saw wasn't arguing with the ref. It was this other shit that is annoying as fuck, is this new shit where the ref calls an obviously good call. And then the dude runs 75 yards to the other end of the court. Like, he can't believe it. It's like, nigga, you fouled him. You know what I mean? Like, it's never on the ones where it's like, damn, dude really didn't touch him. It's always on the ones where it's like Patrick Beverly is wrapping a nigga up, putting handcuffs on him and kicking him in his back and going through his pockets. And then the ref is like, damn, nigga, you fouling. What? Sprint. I'm running around the court. I'm running into the stands. Like, dude, sit your ass down. You fouled him. Sometimes they give you 6 because you know you're going to do it on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just, get out. Yeah. Stop all with theatrics. You know, you got called for the foul. They not changing it. Let's move on.
It's too much, man. It really is. My man Wong writes him, Wonga, balls deep. How's it going? How can Justin be so right when he picked the forceful incest 2 weeks before it happens, but can be so wrong when he said last week the Wizards weren't going to bother the Bulls in that series? Keep up the great work on the shows, Wonga. I guess he just wrote in to tell you that.
Well, I appreciate the email as always, good or bad. I just be guessing. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, y'all. I show up in my fun. I like hanging out over here.
Me too, Justin.
I get green M&Ms. You know, I got a comfortable chair. You know what I'm saying? Like, what else y'all want? Like,
yeah, we just trying to make this money, man. Keep y'all entertained. Yeah. We alluded to this earlier, but now I have the official, like, news on it.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Stephenson got into a fight with Evan Turner at the last Pacers practice before the playoffs.
Oh, this is before the game?
Before game one, even, I believe. So, I mean, a lot of people saying
fisticuffs?
Yeah, a lot of people saying that's why they lost game one. Some people saying that's why they won game two, which I don't understand.
So the fight before the first game helped us win the second game?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, what's the lot? Does it take a couple of days for the fight to kick in? Like, what's the rule?
They had a second fight and it was like, look, I didn't teach you a lesson the first time.
Yeah, he's like, boy, I told you.
You know, I guess people fight in the NBA all the time. I don't know, but Evan Turner just got to that team. You think he might be a little more like, you know, I'm just gonna fit in, play my role, you know, work things out, and then by next season I'm more established, and you know, I maybe can have more of a voice in the locker room.
Well, it makes sense, because I think this would have never happened if Danny Granger was there. The word on the street is the reason they brought in Turner is because they think they might have to replace Lance Stephenson in the offseason, which means you have two niggas that basically do the same thing on the court at the same time right now. Yep. So that you brought in his competition. Maybe he don't like it.
The other thing is, then why not just trade Lance Stephenson?
Yeah, I mean, if that's I mean, if that's your thing, if you really think y'all not gonna get him and all this shit, on the eve of this Eastern Conference series, the wobbly number one seed punctuated its final playoff preparations in a most self-destructive way. Two Indiana Pacers dragged a cursing cut Evan Turner out of the Bankers Life Fieldhouse court, untangling him from a practice floor fist fight with teammate Lance Stephenson. Unfortunately, nobody report who actually won the fight.
Yo, that's the most important issue, is who won. Although Turner is light-skinned and didn't have a black eye, so maybe Lance didn't do his job.
Maybe he's Evan Turnup.
Because I will say this.
Am I right, guys? Come on.
Regardless of whatever fight I get into, win or lose, it's going to leave a mark. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's gonna leave, I'm light, it's yellow, you're gonna see everything. If I hold my hand in my face too long, it's gonna leave a red mark on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Turner ain't had no marks.
Yeah, I didn't notice anything. Like, when I watched the game, I didn't go, what's wrong with his face?
Yeah, so.
I feel like I should have, if, you know, like if I was Lance Stephenson, I feel like I didn't put in that work.
Yeah. Good luck, Lance. but if you come to the Lakers, don't bring that bullshit with you. There's a I'd love to have you if you're gonna come to ball, but yeah, don't bring that bullshit.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, he should have that should count as a win for Evan Turner, even if he didn't win.
Yeah,
because I mean, it is quite possible that Lance Stephenson took an L and we just can't see because he's so dark skinned.
That's true too.
Quite possible. So I might have to go with Justin on this one and say
the black and blue eye didn't show up through the darkness.
Yeah, Evan Turner probably got the best of Lance Stephenson. But yeah, it's funny because everybody was like, yeah, it's obviously this helped bring the team close together. I was like, didn't they win out and lost though?
Before
they got this win, they lost.
And I guess that leads credence to what I was saying earlier too. Like we can argue, but we not yelling at each other. We not like, no, fuck you, Rod. No, fuck you. Yeah. I'm about to choke you out. Like, it's like,
I'm not going to fight you over no
basketball. It's like, Jay, stop turning the ball over. Jay, why are you still making silly passes? Like, stop trying to throw it to me while I'm cherry picking. Like, I'm just, just bring the
was
ball.
This, was this before, I want to know, was this before or after that photo shoot where they was looking like the five heartbeats?
Oh, that definitely was after.
Yeah.
Oh, that 90s R&B cover.
Yeah.
Eddie Kane.
Yeah.
Like, when they came out the locker room, was it like, ooh.
Now, why Roy Hibbert didn't step in and, you know, since he's the lead of the team.
You know what? They was probably fighting over who's going to be the lead singer. That's what they're fighting over.
No. You know what it is? We finally figured out who fucked who wife.
Oh.
One of them fucked the other dude's wife.
Well.
One of them had to be married.
That doesn't make sense because one of the people involved would be Andrew Bynum. So, it's like. If Andrew Bynum was involved in the fight in some facet, like maybe he started it or instigated it or something, then I would go with wife fucking as the number one motivation. Because I feel like he, you know.
And Evan Turner is married.
Makes sense. Clay Thompson.
He got him a nice light-skinned woman. And if Lance, she wanted some of that chocolate Lance.
Clay Thompson decided that he does not take back that he was talking shit about Blake Griffin after going 2-for-4 and losing by 40 points.
I respect my light skinned brother.
Mm-hmm.
The lightest of the light skinned.
By the way, that's light on light violence.
Is he would be considered a light skinned ginger? Would he be like a ginger for black people?
I don't know, but that's light on light violence. Him versus Blake.
I mean, it's okay. It's still black.
Okay.
And that's keeping it with the trend of dark skin.
But did you see the white on white violence when Birdman got ducked on by Josh McRoberts?
Aww.
I feel like that. I feel like after that dunk, you got to walk up like, dude, really? Against each other?
We got.
Yeah. We can't stick together at least on this. Like, that is embarrassing.
It is, but it was also lovely. Bobcats got to do what we can when we can.
The Milwaukee Bucks got sold, right?
Yep.
But there's a condition in this contract that I don't know if people know about.
I told them what you can do with that contract, too.
They have to keep the team in Milwaukee and come to an agreement with the city on a new arena, or else the NBA can buy the team back.
How is that possible?
Because a lot of times these people buy teams and then they want to move them. Oh. And Milwaukee as a city is just not a city that I think a lot of people feel are is attractive compared to some of the markets that might be out there for grabs.
And yep. That makes sense.
I can't even, you know, when I think of Milwaukee Bucks, you know who I think of? Big dog Glenn Robinson and Ray Allen. I can't tell you a motherfucker that's been on their team since then.
You don't think of the Jason Kidd,
nope.
Jamal Mashburn, and nope. Jimmy Jackson?
Don't even remember. See,
like, damn, that was my squad, dog. I remember them niggas.
But think about how old. Like, you can't think of anything since then.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, so yeah, if I was buying that team, I want to move them too.
Yeah,
that's why I wouldn't have signed that contract.
But yeah, they signed the contract, so they don't have a new arena to the city in place by November 2017. They have to give it back. Like,
but all the NBA gonna do is buy it and then sell it and allow that team to move it. Like, I don't get.
Will they?
Yeah, why not?
They might tell the same thing to the next people. Like, you can't move the team. Like, I think they got such a bad response from when Seattle did it that they was like, yeah, we can't allow this to happen again. But to me, I know we might have a couple listeners from Milwaukee, but I don't know. But if they're not, you know, whatever, I say you move these motherfuckers to Seattle.
Yeah. And the other thing is, bad response from who? People in Seattle? I mean, it ain't but so many of them.
Yeah.
Like
I mean, but nah, that was a linchpin franchise, man. Like, I don't want to disrespect Seattle, man. Seattle Sonics was an institution, like, growing up, man.
That was
a major, one of the major teams. Like you said, the Bucks moving? Like, it's not the same. Like, if the Bucks move, I will not be hurt at all. Like, no, I know people locally will be hurt, but they've never been an institution in the NBA like that. Like, Ron Harper? You know what I'm saying? Like, they just never.
He went there too? Yeah, like, who knows?
Yeah.
I can't name more than two.
They never really had that time where you were like, yo, the Bucks used to go to the playoffs, or the Bucks were setting attendance record, or the Bucks merchandise was like, everywhere.
Like hotcakes.
Like, they don't have a definitive era in our lifetime, so I could understand why they have to put a no moving clause in the contract, because it's like, y'all might do that shit. Like, y'all, that's probably
the
only reason you want the franchise is to move it.
Yeah, because it's like, we as owners want to make money, and we feel like if we put this team somewhere else, we can make more money.
Although, I bet they have the drunkest fans at their game. Milwaukee's best. They give it up. Milwaukee's best.
I bet that beer is free. The beer probably free.
At the games, yes.
Yeah. They be like, how much for a beer? It's free, man, with Milwaukee.
That's why their revenue still good.
Water's $5. Beer's free. Kevin Garnett says that the Nets are not going to get calls. And if you do, then you're very fortunate. So,
y'all old.
Here's how I read it. In the playoffs, you're not going to get calls. If you do, then you're very fortunate. Here's what that interprets. How you translate that, guys? We fouling the shit out these young niggas.
Of course.
And I hear them bitching, but they not going to get calls. And if they do, then they're very lucky. You know. So we just expect to be able to foul these niggas, and we don't want to hear nothing from the refs. That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
He said, because if you read the rest of the quote.
Old man tactics.
He's talking shit. It's about the old man tactics. Playing on the road is very difficult. We know that. Some of us do, and that's just expected to come with this series. Things are not going to go the way you want them, and you have to just continue to be aggressive. But that's the difference between experience and non-experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, old man tactics. Now, I feel sorry for them Toronto boys. If they don't win this series, they're going to be bruised up by the time it's over with.
Yes.
Yeah, even if they win, they're going to be fucked up. Somebody ain't making it
but at
out.
Least if they lose, they can go home and chill and get healthy.
It's like The Walking Dead. Somebody not making it to the next season.
Somebody not going to make it
out. I don't know who.
Out alive.
Somebody won't make it out. Alden Smith, who was in trouble for saying bomb in the airport, he was released on bail, and they might drop it to a misdemeanor. So instead of a felony, they drop it to a misdemeanor. He's released on $20,000 bond. So,
oh, well, good. He'll still have a job then with San Francisco.
That's the only excuse you need to keep him on the team. It's just a misdemeanor.
Seattle fans like, fuck.
Yeah. Why? Oh, they don't want to play him?
Yeah, they'd rather him.
If I was a Seattle fan, I'm like, yes. Cause this just gives him more rope to do something more destructive later.
Oh, to hurt the team. Yeah, something in the locker room.
Nobody learns. Yeah, nobody learns from shit like this. Karen, what were you gonna say?
I said, yeah, just after doing some more crazy shit.
Yeah, nobody learns from shit like this. Oscar Robertson just confirmed why he's never gonna be a GM or a coach in the NBA.
Okay.
You know, I have a lot of respect for Oscar Robertson as a basketball player. Averaged a triple double against Jerry the Accountant and Larry from finance, but he thinks that the perfect fit for Carmelo Anthony would be going to the Houston Rockets.
Why?
So we can have more to laugh at? Because it ain't going to fix the problems on this nigga's team. Oh, let me see. Let's put a bunch of people that can't play defense on the same team.
I mean, technically, Dwight's supposed to be there to play D.
Mm-hmm.
Technically.
No D.
Yeah, well, why he won't check LaMarcus Aldridge? LaMarcus might get 50.
I bet you a sheik probably like, man, sign. I put me in, coach. I'll check him.
Yeah. LaMarcus might get 50 against Melo, by the way.
Yeah, because Melo does play power forward.
Yeah. So I don't know what he's looking at.
Man, that'll help Marcus get a fat contract.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't want to be in Portland anyway.
Yep. Oh, and Lynn, Jeremy Lin is also one of the other comical reasons to watch this team. That's my dog, but he is terrible.
I just felt like everybody knew he was terrible, but they tired of talking about how terrible he is. Whereas James Harden is new.
Yeah.
Like they didn't realize. Like he, because before he didn't play that much in OKC. He played, but you know, they had Russell Westbrook to pick on.
Tiger Woods' absence from golf could cost them $15 billion.
Or more.
Man, they better get him in the booth and quick.
What do you mean, or more, Karen?
Because the thing about Tiger Woods is this. No matter hate, love, no matter how mad you about him getting on them hoes and $5 footlongs, him cheating on his wife, when he said his ass wasn't going to be in the Masters, they was like, this is the lowest rated Masters in like all times. Because people don't watch if Tiger's ass is not there, no matter what the tournament is. It's one of those things where Tiger being bad, but he there, make you money. Tiger being good, and he there, makes everybody money, regardless. And that's something that they just have to accept.
It says, Tiger Woods' bad back offers the golf business an opportunity it would not have if the PGA's tour cash cow were healthy enough to play competitively. Life without Tiger can be effectively good for the industry, said Rick Harrow, chief executive of Harrow Sports Ventures and visiting expert on sports law and business at Harvard Law School recently. It gets promoters, sponsors, and TV executives thinking more creatively, working to cultivate a greater understanding and appreciation for the inherent excitement, tradition, and allure of golf.
That sounds like another word for they're going to have to work hard, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to get advertised.
People going to have to start doing their jobs.
And for people like me, who is a casual golf fan.
No, you're not.
Well, that's that casual. Yeah, I only watch for Tiger. That's how casual I am.
I just want to know, have you ever watched?
Still watch the highlights at least.
That's right. That's right. That's why I say casual.
I'll at least watch Tiger with highlights.
I am very casual.
Right.
And
next you're going to be talking about, I love golf.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't.
Carol, I'm thinking about taking up.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about taking up golf now.
I'm not even a casual golf fan. No, nobody in this room is a casual. Name one other golfer.
I don't have one.
Yeah, none of us are casual golf fans. We are fans of the idea of Tiger Woods winning. Yeah,
I liked VJ Singh.
No, I can name five or six of the golfers. I'm saying I can. I'm saying y'all niggas can't.
No, I
just named two.
Not you, Justin. Karen can't. I know Karen can't.
She just threw out
casual golf fan.
Yes. Like,
she was trying to impress us.
Yes, I was. Casual. And casual means I don't pay fucking attention. Casual fan.
You don't have to collide a kick in, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we balls deep.
We're not here on the podcast fronting like we know. We don't know.
I don't know either.
We just talking, okay?
Well, hold on.
No, I know. I'm a professional. You're not going to slander me.
Nah, you just said literally rewind 20 minutes.
Why you bringing up old stuff, man? That was earlier in the show.
Do I need to read Wanga's email again?
That was earlier in the show, dog.
Do I need to read the email?
I don't know.
That was earlier in the show.
Don't make me read the email again, man.
I'm just saying.
Why were you so wrong about Washington?
I'm just saying they're going to have to work.
Why were you so right about rape and so wrong about Washington?
Oh, it just shows my level of ratchet.
Yeah. How you the rape whisperer? You can call that. Karen, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. And my thing is this. There's a lot of fans out there that are like me and might even know more about golf. But there are going to be some people like, if Tiger ain't there, I'm not wasting my time. I'm not watching. And people like me who probably, you might as well say, I'm not not really a fan. I'm put like this. I am a Tiger Woods fan, not a golf fan, if that makes sense. And it's just one of those things where if he leaves, you ain't got to worry about my ass coming back.
First of all, they shouldn't be even attempting to get your money.
No.
You're not worth it.
No, I'm not.
You're way. It's like those fringe NBA fans, and the NBA is like, we're going to put them in suits. It's like, them niggas are never coming back, no, so they stop. So the thing for this is golf fans don't really, like the big secret, they don't really like golf without Tiger. You know, yeah. They have to lower ticket prices now.
Mm-hmm.
The TV ratings plummeted because he wasn't there for the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are actual fans of the show actually, I mean, of golf have this issue. So yeah, he's going to miss the U.S. Open in June. Probably the remaining of the, probably remain on the DL for even longer. Could cost those involved in the financial end of the game about $15 billion.
A lot of money.
That's right, Karen. $15 billion. That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
Sins came up with the eye-popping figure after factoring in dropping ticket prices and meager TV ratings for the Masters, which Woods missed for the first time in his professional career after speaking with television communications and media experts. All involved agreed that they could not specify exactly how much Woods would cost the golf as long as he remained benched, but Sins considered $68.8 billion value of the golf industry in his ciphering. In the meantime, while he may be costing tourney sponsors, ticket sellers, gear manufacturers, and other golf-related entities boatloads of cash by being laid up after spine surgery, the world number one has come up with a new way to make money for his foundation and local youth charities. Tiger Woods Foundation has added a golf tourney for amateurs to his fundraiser portfolio. Yeah, all right. I don't care about
this. So Tiger's still getting money, but everybody else struggling. Yeah.
He's like, I came up with a way to get Mo rich.
While I'm not playing golf.
They need to put him in the booth, man.
Nigga, you have to put in at least $10,000 to qualify for the charity playoff finals. What?
Tiger is getting this money, dog.
Qualifying tournaments is $500 each at most sites. And a philanthropic pledge of $1,000. And that's a two person team. $1,500 just to be in the, to have a chance in the shit.
Them golf tourneys is expensive. When I see
Tigers
it
is expensive.
No, yeah, not them. I mean, this one.
Tigers is very expensive.
For charity.
But I've seen them do charity ones where, yeah, you probably have to pay like $500 for like two people or stuff like that, or $500 a person, which is, I consider very expensive.
This nigga. Wow.
$10,000. That's a huge.
$10,000 to automatically qualify. If you just want a chance, $1,500. Finalists will receive two nights at the Four Seasons Resort in Orlando.
Yes, you paying for it.
A private exhibition and reception with Tiger and other tour club players.
You probably get
a clubhouse credentials for the World Challenge at Orlando's Islesworth Golf and Country Club for December 4th to December 7th. The top fundraising duo will also earn two pro-am spots in three events in 2015. So, I mean, and that's the top fundraiser. So that's saying this is the bottom. Like, this is to get a chance, $1,500. $10,000, you automatically qualify. But they like, if you get more, then this is the good shit you get.
And you're going to probably have to pay more.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I love it. You got to pay
more. And I guarantee you, you could just go spend like $1,500 and do all this shit for yourself.
For a family of four.
Yeah, for a family of like four. Go to Disneyland.
All your food taken care of. Yeah. All inclusive.
Get the hot passes.
Yeah. Like Tiger out there balling off these niggas, man.
I wonder how much of that percentage actually goes to charity. You know what I mean?
Well, like, you saw what it said. $500 entry fee, then $1,000 charitable donation. So $500 is his. That's him.
I mean, even at the $10,000, is all that going to charity or, you know?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
$3,000 out of that $10,000.
Yeah. I'm just saying we already know something's
getting
up.
Five off the top.
He getting $500 no matter what. He telling you that's to him. Now this other G like some of that go to the kids
to cover his Denny's fees, you know, right. And
I mean these
peanut butter and jelly I'm making for his kids.
These Subway sandwiches ain't making themselves. Phil Jackson on Carmelo Anthony's decision, we're going forward anyway.
Why is this breaking news and some shit? Of course you are.
I'm all about moving forward, Jackson said at the team's practice facility in Greenberg. Just deal with what it is and move forward. If it's in the cards, man, are we fortunate? If it's not in the cards, man, are we fortunate? We're going forward anyway. So he's saying we're lucky either way, he decides.
Man, Phil think he's still coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people forgot that at one time, like, you know, Kobe and Shaq hated that dude. He was like, fuck Phil.
He said he hopes Carmelo takes a pay cut to stay with the team. That's, I think, a precedent that's been set, because the way things have been structured, how financially for teams, is that it's really hard to have one or two top stars or max players. And to put together a team with enough talent, you've got to have people make sacrifices financially. So we hope that Carmelo is true to his word and we understand what it's going to take, and we will present that to him at the time. Listen, when Carmelo said he would take a pay cut, that's not for y'all. That's for everybody else.
Right.
That's for everybody else that's recruiting him. Hey, you might not have to pay me as much as you think. Now, you still got to max me out, but you ain't got to worry about matching the New York match. You know, that, like, I will consider less to play for y'all. Not New York.
Phil fucked up, man.
Yeah. What is he doing?
And I'm going to tell you why he fucked up. La reading this now. Mm-hmm. And Melo's like, baby, he talking shit about us. Just another white man trying to put us down. He don't want us to get our money. He's saying, I ain't a man. If I don't stay and make, I can't feed my family off $20 million
a year. Oh, hell no. I know he ain't do that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what you want me to do? Like, now you still talking about staying in New York?
Let's just leave. Let's just get away.
He talking about you, baby.
Let's go to L.A. and play with Kobe. I got a pilot going on out there anyway.
Let's do it. Let's take the family to LA.
Sylvie, you gonna be on my TV show?
Nah, hell no.
It's called Dick Sucking Basketball Wives.
But I will let I will let you hang out with Vanessa and Kobe.
No, I'm doing a show called Basketball Hoes. I need you to be on it.
Nope, but I will let you hang out with Vanessa.
It could be just two of me. It's called Lala and Mello. Lala's Real Life on VH1.
But then you'll see me with my other hoes.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm gonna be fighting them too. Gotta have fights.
Fighting everybody.
But you didn't know about them till just now.
He also said that James Dolan had been leaving him alone, which I don't believe.
Phil fucked up, man. We know the Knicks not gonna win anytime soon anyway.
Mm-hmm. Much like a college basketball team getting its first loss out of the way before the NCAA tournament hits, perhaps it is best the New York Knicks owner James Dolan and President Phil Jackson had their first disagreement about something as relatively benign as the firing of an unnamed staff this month. Just, by the way, they fired the press release. I don't know if you saw it, Justin. The title for the news article was Knicks Fire Entire Staff.
Yeah, I can believe it. He fired everybody. That means he fired Dolan, friend, grandson, or somebody.
Nigga, entire is just so funny because, you know, almost every other team is like, they fired the coach.
Which
means you fire the entire staff. Like, it's not like when you fire a coach, like assistant coaches go, like everybody.
Yeah, they come in and bring their own people to pick their own.
Nope. Yeah, unless you promote from within, you're typically getting rid of everybody.
Phil fired the catering staff. Right. Man. He fired every fucking person.
They wanted you to know They wanted you to know this is different. Personal chefs, gone.
Ball Pizza boys, they gotta gone. Go. Yeah. We need new ball boys.
New ball boys.
People that wipe the sweat up, y'all gone. We need new dancers.
I don't like the way you did laundry anyway. Get the fuck out.
But you know why? Phil had to get rid of all the spies for Dolan and other people. He gonna bring all his own people.
It's like Game of Thrones. Like the Lannisters. He got ears everywhere.
Yeah, so he bringing in all his own people.
Yeah, he's gonna go in there and Jenny Buss gonna be stringed up. Listen, Phil, you will do what I tell you. Yeah, so they fought over firing some coaches, but don't nobody care.
Phil didn't want to get poisoned.
Let me see. This is for later. There's a dude named Bernie Kosar, played football, famous Browns quarterback, if you believe in those three things. He believes he has been removed as a TV commentator for Cleveland's preseason games because of slurred speech that he attributes to concussions sustained in the NFL.
Sounds about right.
That's sad. Although, what if he just been drinking?
True.
Nah, it's the concussions.
Are we sure, man?
I've been drinking.
Because though, he sounded that way when they showed him like a college interview during that, what was it, 30 for 30? He sounded slurred then too, so I don't know.
The Browns announced Wednesday that he will be replaced by Solomon Wilcots. The team says it's exploring other media roles for Kozar, who remains one of the Browns' most popular players. Kozar says in a statement his removal stems from my slurred speech impairment, which is a direct result of the many concussions I received while playing the NFL. So he played the concussion card. Kozar calls the situation unfortunate and says the preseason games is truly one of the few remaining joys in my life. Damn. What if he killed himself, man? You know, a lot of people with these concussions, man, they kill themselves.
Yep.
You know, the Browns, this will be like real, real bad press for the Browns. Like, you fired an old man with concussion syndrome. Did he kill himself?
I hope he does.
Somebody the Browns fans actually like to.
Yeah, shoot himself in the chest, be like, study my brain.
Oh.
That's what they do.
Isn't that what Say I did?
A lot of dudes have done that. Like, I'm not putting it past it, man. Like, this is a risky decision. This motherfucker come back and be like, yeah, I killed myself because, like, y'all took away my only joy.
Hey, or he might kill everybody else there.
I don't know if we've had that with the concussion syndrome.
Normally they self-inflicted. But
I think Brandon was a little off prior to the concussion. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I don't know enough about the
and
Browns.
And he enjoys being in Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the Browns.
He enjoyed being in Cleveland.
To me, that doesn't matter. Like,
that says it's, he's a little off somewhere.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
If you enjoy being in Cleveland.
He enjoys being Bernie Kosar in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? That's a little different than, like, it ain't like that nigga is just like a dude that won't leave Cleveland. Richard Sherman, speaking of not leaving, said the best way Seattle Seahawks can show him some appreciation is showing him his money.
I know it's so.
I love that everyone on Seattle's team is like, I want more money. And the one nigga that was like, I'll take a cut, they was like, okay then. And now he in Detroit. His ass is in Detroit.
He said, I miss you guys.
Yeah. Hey, hey buddy, just saw you got a new contract. Yeah, I told him I want my money. What'd you tell him? I told him they could give me whatever they felt like. So now I'm in Detroit.
Aw, man, ownership tripping.
Yeah.
They're talking about they want to just offer me the league minimum.
Yeah. Oh, man, I heard you ain't get your money. He said, whatever they feel I am due, I will take it as respect. It's all about respect in this game. The only way people show respect is the dollars. We'll see what happens. Contract negotiations between Seahawks and Pro Bowl cornerback are ongoing, but a source directly involved in the talks has told ESPN's Ed Werder that the sides are not as close as some reports have indicated. Sherman is entering the final year of his rookie contract and is scheduled to make $1.4 million this season. There is no timetable for the sides to reach an agreement, but it's clearly a team priority to secure both Sherman and safety Earl Thomas to long-term deals.
Damn, he only on his rookie contract?
He only 26.
Now, he only been in the league 3 years with a Super Bowl ring. Dog, you think he cocky now?
Darrell Revis has $12 million contract, dog. This nigga making 1.4.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine him once he get that money.
I'm saying imagine him if he don't get the money.
Oh, he out.
You got to give him the money. If not, you're going to franchise him.
He out.
And if you franchise him, then you got to hope Earl Thomas don't want to be franchised, I guess.
And I have a question about that franchise thing, the some of the new rules they have. Do they have a limit on that?
I think you can only do it for a certain amount of years, but off the top of my head, I don't know. Like, maybe you can Google franchise, the franchise rule for the NFL, because I don't have it. I don't remember off the top of my head, honestly.
Yeah, he out, man.
He don't have to leave.
But here's the thing that I'm not surprised. They still might not pay him, but like, you know, we got him, we'll get somebody else.
They might not.
Because this is football, and that's what they do a lot of times.
Although that will be kind of a first, but they might not, you know, like, think about it. Darrell Revis has been on many different teams at this point.
Yeah, but I'm saying, right, he having to go from team to team to get that money.
Now, he set his contract up that way, though. That's what a lot of people don't know. Like, he sets his contract up where it's like $12 million this year, $30 billion next year. And they be like, okay, we'll cut you after the end of the year. You know what I mean? Speaking of more Seattle news and people getting cut, Russell Wilson cut his wife Ashton Wilson this week.
Lord. She didn't make the cut?
No.
Damn it, she did not make the squad.
Apparently she took it as a sign of disrespect when he wouldn't up her salary. They were married only 2 years ago, 2012. They released a statement said, like, that's weird. The Seahawks released a statement on a divorce. Does that happen anywhere else?
Never heard of that happening.
Like, he's such a professional. Like, he went, like, he wasn't even thinking about the marriage. He was thinking about his job. He's like, oh, better go talk to coach.
Because I don't want them to hit first, Tim. Yeah. So you get all over this, it'll be all crazy.
Coach, it's me, Russell. I hope you're sitting down.
What's going on there, Russie?
No better way to really say this. I'm just going to come right out and say it.
You're not in trouble, are you, with the law, are you?
No, of course not, Coach. Of course not. You know
did
how
you get hurt? You got an injury? Your throwing arm okay?
Well, my heart's a little injured, but that's about it.
But your arm's okay?
Yeah, everything's fine.
You got enough hair activator? Everything good there?
Yeah, I've got plenty of S-curl to last me for weeks. Okay. I'm going to be fine that front. Did you take a seat? Are you sitting down?
Not yet, Rusty. Go ahead, Rusty. What is it? I mean, you know, I'm kind of busy. Is it you didn't get your order of socks? What is it?
Well, you can probably hear it in my voice. I'm very upset. My wife, Ashton, and I filed for divorce.
Really?
So I'm going to need you to release a press release. I think that's the best way to handle this. Get in front of this thing.
There's no scandal along with it. No.
I mean, I get plenty of bitches, as you've known, for quite some time, but, I'm just ready to move on to just hoes.
Right, but it's nothing where she's pregnant by another guy or you have an illegitimate child on the way. None of that.
I wouldn't know. You know, honestly, I don't keep any tabs on her because I was too busy getting other bitches. But, you know, I scheduled. See, she saw my Google calendar and, you know, I scheduled my bitch time.
She's good. She's good.
I scheduled my time to have hoes and she did not approve of it. So.
Well, you know what, Russ? I appreciate you calling me. We'll send out a press release.
Yeah.
We'll take care of it.
Tell everybody it was a difficult decision and that I'm the one who decided to file for divorce? I just want to make sure.
Oh, definitely.
And to keep us in their prayers, but to respect our privacy as I get these hoes.
Definitely. On a whole other note, what do you think about having Future come in and speak to the group during preseason, you know, get us amped up for the season?
Who is Future? What is a future? Like future stocks? Like we can talk about future stocks. I think that would be good. Some of the guys, they should probably invest their money more wisely. I saw a few extra flamboyant chains around the office. Okay.
Well,
so.
You're not a big fan of Future. How about Lil Boosie? Lil Boosie's home.
I'm a big fan of future stocks.
No, how about Lil Boosie? He's home now and, you know, he can wipe us down.
Oh, Boosie Collins? Oh, well, yeah. Lil Boosie Collins is, one of my favorite funk guitarists.
No,
so.
Lil Boosie badass.
Does he have like a son? He has a badass son. Is that what's wrong?
He has several children. He has several baby mamas. They're trying to get a reality show.
I don't believe in spanking, honestly. So if he's a badass, I'm going to just say put him on timeout, keep him out of the office. Probably shouldn't be talking to the team.
You know what, Russ? I got to go, man. I got to go. I got these. Right, I got other calls. We'll take care of that. All right,
Coach Carroll. All right, Coach Carroll, I gotta go clean up around here. You know, she's a mess. So I'll talk to you during the season.
All right, then, Rusty.
Bye, buddy. ESPN to air a playoff game and a Pro Bowl.
Are they just
That's kind of a come up, isn't it?
For ESPN?
Yeah, they've never aired a playoff game before.
No, they haven't.
It definitely speaks to something because until now, every playoff game has always been on regular TV, like network TV. Yeah. Now you will have to have cable to watch this on ESPN. I think it's about time.
Yeah.
Because people watch football, they watch it HD, they watch it on their big ass TVs.
Which means they probably got cable.
You gotta have ESPN. Come on. Like the overlap of NFL fans without ESPN has to be so fucking small.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You like it's time to recognize that there's no fucking reason for that shit to be on ABC. Put the shit on ESPN. Let them cover it. They do pretty good coverage anyway throughout the week. I'm looking forward to it, man. Hopefully one day they can move a lot, even more games over there.
I was reading about the franchise player thingy I was telling you about before.
Yeah.
And it says here that teams can continually franchise the player, but it will cost them a lot of money. It says a player tagged as a second straight year can be set at 120% of the previous figure. If they do a third straight year, it could be 144%. Oh, so each time the percentage of the previous pay goes up. From reading this is unlimited, but who's going to want to pay all that money? Eventually, you're going to let that player go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he might not be there. And they're going to have to pay Russell. Because though they did get Terrell Pryor.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So they might be looking at Russ like, you know what though? They might be looking at if Terrell Pryor can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But then once they realize he can't figure out the playbook, they're going to be like, nah, we'll go ahead and play Russ.
Russ ain't got nothing to worry about because Terrell can't figure out the press conference. it ain't the playbook.
The playbook is the press conference.
Ain't nobody in the game got the press conference like him, period. Not even Andrew Luck. Like, his press conference game is good. I never saw that dude smile until he talked about that girl that he signed her thing for. She was sick and dying or some shit. I was like, see, this is why he good. He's like, here's a card that I signed for a birthday of a dying child. I was like, god damn, he good.
The professional.
So don't ask us about that loss to 49ers, okay? ESPN, airing the Pro Bowl in the playoff game. About time. Makes sense. Buffalo Bills is on the hook for $3 million for texts that they were sending.
Okay.
Well, I didn't realize Buffaloes could send texts.
What were they sending? Sexy texts?
Like, is it the owner that was sending out texts?
Yeah, cheerleaders. Who was sending these texts?
Fans signed up for one of those things where it's like, you want to stay in contact with the team? Get text messages.
Okay.
But apparently they sent too many text messages because they suck and they want to remind you that they fucking exist.
I was going to say, so who the fuck want to send the Bills text of all teams?
Jerry Welchkick, who signed for a class action lawsuit in 2012, asserted that he and others opted to receive text messages from the Bills, but said the team sent more than it was allowed per consumer protection laws. Last week in Tampa, Florida, a federal court gave preliminary approval to a settlement that would give each plaintiff debit cards for use at the team's store or its official site. Of the 39,750 fans who opted to receive texts from the team, collect their debit cards, if they all collect it, it will range in value from $57.50 to $75. The Bills would have given out gift cards worth a total of $2,487,745.
How many texts did they send?
The car, I don't know. The cars, which will be fully
harassing people.
They were sending pictures of their dick.
Yeah, that's
hey, girl, you up? It's the Bills.
You woke?
What you doing?
You know what time it is.
What you got on?
It's the Bills.
What you got on? The Bills.
You know we got a game this upcoming Sunday. It'd be nice if maybe you consider buying a ticket.
We love you.
So we won't be blacked out.
Hey, you looking good today. The Bills. What time you getting home? Text me when you get home. The cars will be fully transferable and will be valid for 4 years. The Bills will pay an additional $562,500 to Wojcik's lawyers for attorney fees. Damn, they came up. On a bullshit ass thing that came up.
And this is the thing. What fan sat around was like, this bitch texting me too much.
somebody
got to go.
They only allow 8 texts a month and they went way over that.
Actually, you know, it wasn't a fan.
I was a girlfriend.
It was a fan's girlfriend. Who the fuck is texting you and who is Bill? Y'all supposed to meet up this week? You supposed to go to Buffalo to meet up with Bill?
I told you that's the local team.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, nigga. Yeah, right.
Okay.
What is Bill wearing right now then?
Right.
I know.
Why is Bill sending you texts about clothes?
He had the suit approved. It was a football team.
Why is Bill talking about wear his clothes then?
Right.
Are you going to wear his uniform?
Don't forget to bring your jerseys. What does that mean?
Y'all going to drink beer and wings? Who the fuck is this Bill?
Talking about you're a jock?
Right.
What? Play with his balls?
What's up with all this ball talk?
What?
Oh.
Oh, they ruin relationships out here. Mm-hmm. And they only got 50
Bill
cent
sounds
for their
like
troubles.
A man. You're not gay.
Right. She probably thought he was gay.
They got 50 cent for their troubles. He had to sue.
Buffalo Bills yes. have reached a settlement in this matter. We believe it is best interest of our organization and our fans. The purpose of the Bills' voluntary opt-in text messaging program was to provide our fans with information they requested about the team. The organization maintains that our text messaging program was in compliance with the law. But you're paying the settlement because you know you weren't. The Buffalo right. News first reported the settlement, which was released through the court. The lawsuit says terms and conditions provided by the site said they would send 3 to 5 text messages per week for a period of 12 months. But on several occasions, fans received more than that. The final hearing, which would be to approve the settlement, is scheduled August 20th. So, yeah. Dabo Swinney, who we talked about last week, he's a coach at Clemson. He said he was a little caught off guard by a complaint filed by the Freedom From Religion Foundation earlier this month, charging him with unconstitutional behavior at the public university. They contend that Swinney violated the Constitution and the university guidelines on hiring chaplains when he invited James Trapp to become the team chaplain. The organization also took issue that the coach's decision to schedule team devotionals and organize transportation to take coaches and players to church days said Swinney gave Trapp access to the entire team for Bible studies. We do things the right way and always have, Swinney said at an ACC teleconference Wednesday. We'll continue to run the program the way we always have. Anything we have in our program from a spiritual standpoint is and always has been voluntary. There's no difference than any other program out there in how we operate as far as providing our players opportunities to grow in any aspect of their lives.
Man, he fucking up, man.
Listen.
He fucking up.
Swinney did not comment on the specifics of the complaint. He said, I have coached and recruited just about every faith and religion that's out there, or non-religion, and have never had a problem with any before. I am who I am. I'm proud to be a Christian. And by being a Christian, I'm a Christian in everything that I do. People that know me, they know I'm a long way from being perfect. You can ask my players or my wife. I'm a long way from being perfect, but I do try to live my life with a positive influence on those around me. I've never been a guy who's forced anything on anyone. I just am who I am, and I'm proud of how we run our program. The reason I've had success as a coach is because I love my players. I take great pride in having relationships with my players. So they are welcome to come to Clemson as long as they worship any religion they want, especially the one true right religion, the yep. one with the guy whose son died, that one.
And the one where we have buses that's waiting out front, yeah. and you need to be on time.
Right. You're welcome. Look, you're welcome to miss the bus. If you want to run extra laps, if you want to lose your starting spot, you yeah. are welcome to miss. I'm not forcing you to go to church.
Lose your meal card for a day.
Now get on the bus, Muhammad. Oh, Lord. Get on the bus, Xavier X Muhammad.
Man,
get on the bus.
He fucking up, man. Mm-hmm. Hey. It's one thing to say it's voluntary and then the children find their own way there. It just happened to be a flyer in the locker room about it. But man, it's another thing when people feel like you forcing religion on them and you forcing them to go do something.
Look, man,
they worse than the Christians.
He's fine and it'll hold up in court. Okay. All he got to do is go to court and say, my name is Dabo and I run a college football program in Clemson, South Carolina. And the judge is going to say, oh, yeah, okay, case dismissed.
He fucking up, man.
No, it's not. They're going to be like, obviously, anybody that decides to go to this school knows that they're going to have to turn Christian for 4 years. It's not his fault.
This is last year at Clemson. He won't be there next year this time. Mm. He won't.
Nah, it won't be because of this. What? Are you serious?
I'm telling you,
religion,
man.
In South Carolina, he just gained recruits.
Man, I'm telling you, man.
Okay.
Listen, and let me say this. I agree. People do like that. Parents like it. But it's like BYU. They're going to always get recruits because of the Mormons. I get that. However, his stance on it and the way he's approaching it, he fucking up.
Nah. He not only is he, like, I mean, he's wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's right as far as in the moral sense of rightness. Like, he's, as soon as he said, we gonna keep doing shit the way we always did it, I was like, that is a South Carolina thing to say. That's why he gonna stay there. He really shouldn't, like, have the job he has in a way because, you know, Clemson did not want him to be their coach. He's just so Clemson. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I get what you're saying.
He was a dude that they really thought was like an interim coach, but his name is Dabo. And he be hyped as shit. He talks shit about every other ACC team and South Carolina. That dude is Teflon, and this only helps make him more Teflon. Cause people in South Carolina are like, yeah, he Christian, and he just trying to help these poor, misguided heathens get some religion in them.
He gone, man. I'm telling you, he gone.
You cannot be more wrong.
I'm telling you, he gone.
The only way he'll be gone is if the team lose. He won't be gone.
Them boys from South Carolina gonna stop going to Clemson.
No, what? Okay, man, this is crazy.
Them boys from
this is worse than the rape. The boys from
South Carolina gonna stop going to Clemson. Them boys from New Jersey that want to come down there and play, they gonna be like, nah.
Yeah,
nah.
I know how South Carolina they cannot recruit guys from New Jersey. That's one of the major problems with the program.
It's such a big university. Nobody
Clemson has a problem with that. Yes,
gonna come and look at them for the pros.
Yeah, that'll be the problem.
Clemson got a problem with it. Watch.
Nah,
he's not gonna be there next year, and it's gonna. They might not say this is the reason, but it's gonna be the reason.
No, man, you are so wrong. The only way he won't be there is if they lose games. Football
is about
over everything.
And you lose games because you're not getting the recruits that you normally might would get had he not dug his heels in the
sand. But that wouldn't be for 2 or 3 years.
He could have said, "We'll look into it," and kept doing the same thing he'd been doing. The same way Daniel Snyder refused to change the name of the Redskins.
Nah, man.
If Dan just shut the fuck up about it and just keep the name what it is.
No, first of all, he doesn't. That's a lie. Second of all, people love this shit. Like, that's the thing people forget. Like, that's the thing I was telling people about Chick-fil-A. Yeah, it's morally wrong, but there's a lot of morally wrong motherfuckers in the world that be like, I love me some Chick-fil-A. I wasn't gonna eat Chick-fil-A until they said they ain't like gay people. Now I want 2 spicy chicken sandwiches. I was gonna get 1 sandwich. I'm gonna buy chicken sandwiches for the whole office.
Man, they stopped serving provolone cheese. I'm a little
disappointed. Right, I saw that. Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed.
They don't care. Like, but that's the thing.
Yeah, they don't
care. Made so much money they could stop doing provolone.
Why?
Cause racism was so good it doesn't care what kind of cheese it is.
I care.
It's like Pepper Jack. This homophobia is so delicious. on Pepper Jack. You know what?
I want my provolone.
You know what? Charge me for the cheese and don't even put cheese on there. I just want y'all to take the 30 cent for yourself. Keep it in your pocket against the gays. Like, I'm telling you, man, as soon as dude said, cause I read this, like, when I first read the article, my first thought was like, man, that's fucked up. Like, he couldn't at least be like, you know what? You guys are right. We're gonna, you know, we'll look at revamping some of the things we do around here. As soon as he said,
and keep it the same. Just keep it the same.
Yeah. Well, even if he changed it, I mean, to me, what's the harm in changing, right? Be more inclusive, more to open people and stuff. But then I was thinking like, wait a minute. It's going to work out better for him to be ignorant because so many people are fucking ignorant to other religions, other people's atheism, like, so many people are so ignorant to that shit that they will be like, oh, now, see, I'm going to send my kid down there to a good Christian man. He going to make him go to church, just like I make him go to church every Sunday. He going to do this, and he going to do that. It's like, that's fucked up, but it's going to work. Because in South Carolina, if he did this shit in, like, Rutgers, it wouldn't work. But it will work in Clemson. That's my guess. Now, if he's not there next year, and I'm saying, like, they have a good season, he's still not there next year, I'll think that it's because he moved to a better job. That's it. It won't be because he got fired. It'll be because he was like,
he wanted to leave.
It'll be because then like Alabama was like, you know what we could use? Some religion. Like it's gonna be a better job. It ain't gonna be a worse job. Like people are ignorant as shit about religion in the South, man. Like they don't care.
They love them some Jesus. Huh?
Love them some Jesus. How many churches you think this nigga has gone to the recruit?
My God. Why didn't your boy from Florida go there? Jameis Winston.
Man, first of all.
That would have been a perfect spot for him.
You know Dabo know all the words to Lift Every Voice and Sing. Oh. You know he know it. All these fucking coaches that recruit good black players know that shit. Mm-hmm. Probably like,
no,
nah.
I don't even know the words.
No, all the hymns from the AMB Zion.
Yeah. He's like, you know, I was thinking, why we do this recruiting? I mean, it's a Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. Why don't we just go to your church? I'm like, you want to go to my church?
Yeah.
Down here in Pawtucket, Georgia, it's nothing but black people in my church.
But like, what kind of hat does your mama wear? Does she like the straw hats?
Right. Like, he probably clap on the twos and fours, dog. Like, he probably get the Holy Ghost. He was like, oh, it's getting me. Hold on now. Oh, watch out. Watch out, James. Watch out, James.
Let me stretch my arms here.
Woo!
Oh, the God of high.
You probably be sitting next to Dabo in church, and the reverend started preaching, and then all of a sudden you just hear, wow.
He make you feel uncomfortable because he know more scripture than you.
He be like, preach, pastor, preach.
Say gone. It.
He still gone, man.
Nah, he good. Say it. He gonna, man, did you see the shit where, I forget the coach, but one of them coaches was doing the fucking stanky leg. these white dudes are fucking diabolical, man. They know all the black coaches.
I did see one do the nay-nay too.
Yeah, doing the nay-nay.
What the hell is the nay-nay?
A dance, Karen.
Oh, Lord. Like, I'm sorry.
I guarantee you all these motherfuckers are, like, he got more recruits being religious, dog. I guarantee. I thought this last week, I was like, he gonna back off of it because it's too much. Freedom of religion, is government and religion, like, combining. It's a public school. There's no fucking, like, you need to back off because legally you don't have any ground to stand on. And then I read this article. I was like, or you could just be ignorant and people gonna be like, yeah, I agree with ignorance.
He dug his heels in, man. He did.
Yeah. Like I said, if he don't have his job, man, I will be shocked unless he took a better job or they had a bad season. Cause this the kind of ignorance people love in the South, man. They love. See, you can't take his Jesus. He up in church right now. He gonna be in church this Sunday holding hands with some recruit's mama.
Easter Sunday. About
they tried to take my Jesus.
He definitely was recruiting hard Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
He probably took a bus. We're going to get a group of fellas from the neighborhood, and we all going to go to church.
Everybody got to bring their mama. Everybody. We're going to have all y'all boys in here with y'all mamas, and we all going to church together. He be holding their hands.
I
want to just pray with y'all for a second. I was tested this week.
And that's why I wouldn't go to his church.
They tried to take my Jesus from me at my program. Oh no, what? Yes, I'm just trying to do right by these young, impressionable boys, Lord. Yes! Oh, you know what, Jameel? You going there. You going to coach. Sign the contract.
Nope, it'll be one of them signing days with them other boys during early in the year. They was going to different school than what their mama wanted. Cause as a teenager, I remember not wanting to go to church on Sunday mornings.
And
I can't imagine after a game on Saturday, you want to sleep in on Sunday.
Well, see, this is the thing that you don't understand, right? Because you're doing it the other way. And I think it's actually the opposite because I was recruited to go to college. It's a lie. He not really making nobody do anything.
Mm-mm. But that's it.
Like, they told my mama and my dad, who they didn't even realize don't go to church every Sunday. The dude that recruited me was like, I'm going to have these boys in church every Sunday. And they're going to be going with me. And we're going to be going together. And I was looking like, nigga, please. I'm not going to shit and you can't make me. And they can't check because they out of the house. I'm out of their house. So I guarantee you, man, when you really, like, he does the hard sell and the religious shit in public. Then when you get in the locker room, they be like, so, man, we got bald heads and all go to church Sundays. Like, if you want to.
Now y'all do what y'all want to do.
I mean, the bus will be there. But you going, coach? I mean, I got to go recruit, so. I mean, but y'all can go, you know. I told your mama, you know, we make sure y'all go, so we will make sure everyone on the bus goes to church.
Has an opportunity. It's up to you.
Every Sunday is like one dude on the bus.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, if they really wanted to expose him, they would investigate it further.
They realize there's nobody on the bus.
I guarantee you that, because I lived it. It happened to me. We'll make sure these good boys go to church. Man, we ain't go to church once. That dude gave me like a ride to Hardee's one time. That was about it. Goran Dragic is the NBA's most improved player.
I don't know who he is.
He plays for the Suns.
I'm looking like, who is that?
No, I know who he is, but at the same time, I don't. Like,
no, I really don't know who he is. So
I've never seen him on anything.
Plays for the Phoenix Suns.
He wear them ugly ass orange. They jerseys are so ugly this year.
Coach Popovich won Coach of the Year.
Damn, is he going to get fired next year?
I know. Everybody that get that position lately been fired the next year.
Yeah.
He keep being stubborn about Ginobili. He You might see some changes in San Antonio.
Yeah, he's Teflon. He can coach as long as he wants, pretty much. I think he's going to retire when Duncan retires, probably.
I could see that.
Joakim Noah won Defensive Player of the Year. Then got lit up by Nene.
Good for him. Can he afford to get his teeth fixed now?
I don't think he wants it. Have you seen that family picture of him when he won the award? Man, they family look like it comes from 17 different people, man. like that family is definitely the family that should have been on the ark. That's why they named the Noahs.
Oh Lord.
They really look like any race could come from them, man. Like I saw that picture, I said, man, this is amazing. Like, look at all the jeans and y'all. I mean, like, it's
really been spreading the love everywhere on every continent.
Like, it's one kid, one of the kids in the family really just look white. This ain't the one with the kid in it, but I'll put this picture in the chat for y'all. But like, all these people in his family, like, one of the kids in the family, dog, was a white kid. Like, I was just like, is this a random white kid that
they picked up?
Yeah, like, what is this white kid doing in here? It's like, he part of the family, dog.
They all got that long kettle.
Yeah, like it's like here's another picture of his family.
How old is his sister?
Without him in it. I don't know how old she is, but
is she 18? 18?
I don't know. Probably. I don't know. Man, why would I know that?
Part of our
this
research.
Is my first time looking at that picture.
Part of our research. We're gonna check in.
But look at that. That's a white baby, man. That baby is white. These people started everything.
They so privileged. They whole family yeah. privileged.
I love them, man. And they probably all smoke weed together.
Yep.
They look like they do.
Russell Allen had a stroke for the Jaguars as a linebacker.
I was just going to say, what Florida team does he play for?
He thought it was a concussion.
Oh.
And played. He finished the game.
Last
what
game ever
to a loss to the Buffalo Bills?
Damn, they love this football.
Did they send a text about it?
Yeah, they texted him afterwards and said you probably shouldn't play with a stroke.
They love some football, man. These people are so dedicated to their sport. Beverly out here playing with a torn half a leg.
I don't like anything this much.
This dude got us.
I would stop fucking if this happened, and I love fucking. I'd be like, nope, and I'm done. I'm spinning and seeing double. I'm good. I won't go to the hospital now.
Right.
In an interview with the Monday Morning Quarterback.com, Allen said he initially thought he had suffered a concussion after colliding with Bills center Eric Wood.
That's right. So you sit down at that point, right?
Right. Early in the second half, 2017-20 loss in December 15. Later in the half, he began experiencing double vision on the sideline.
Yes, he did.
But he went back onto the field and finished the game.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready.
Yeah, because
well, he passed a concussion test, but not the stroke test.
Yeah, I was like, obviously they must not test for that. And I think for a lot of people, the players, especially those that by the time they get to the pros, they live and breathe. Like, football is life to them. It is everything to them. So they're like, whatever I can do to play this game.
After suffering a headache Sunday night and Monday morning next week, or that week, he told Jaguars trainers about the play, and he experienced double vision on the sideline. Allen told the website he underwent an MRI, and he was sent home, but received a call on Tuesday morning. He was told to meet the Jaguars team physician in the ER room, the emergency room.
Damn it. They took an ER test and was like, we'll check it out. We'll find it. We'll let you know. Not just go.
Nah, when you get that call back that's like, yeah, we checked. Go to the emergency room. Like, it's not come to the facility. We'll send somebody out. Yeah, go directly to the emergency room. We'll have somebody meet you there. Upon arrival, he was told he suffered a stroke, and he was admitted to the hospital for 3 days of tests. It was strange because the hit on Wood was so routine. Allen told the website, we hit. I got off the block. No big deal. I felt something flash like they say you do when your bell rung.
I
didn't lose consciousness. I walked back to the huddle and finished the drive.
Although, if I'm that other dude, I would talk to my agent and say, look, I need more money. I'm giving niggas strokes out here on this football field.
Mm-hmm.
Get me some money.
Allen, 27, said that he had a dead spot on his cerebellum about the size of a dime.
27?
Mm-hmm. He's still having coordination problems and will be on blood-thinning medication for the rest of his life. According to a neurosurgeon for the University of California, San Diego, the injury occurred due to a tear in the layers of the artery wall that supplies oxygen to the brain. According to the website, none of the doctors Allen consulted could find an incident in which a professional footballer suffered this kind of stroke, which has occurred in a small percentage of high-speed motor vehicle accidents.
Shit.
So. He knocked his ass to a stroke, and he still wanted to get back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tapping out. Mm-hmm. I'm not built for that life.
Oh. Most people think they are, but they ain't. They be like, I'll take the league minimum. The fuck you will.
I mean, your head is only so big, and mm-hmm. he got a black spot the size of a dime. That's your eyeball. That's... Like, you, it's nothing working anymore on that part of his brain.
Just look. All of us in our 30s, he is 27 and can never work for the rest of his life.
He can't play football. I don't know about never work.
Well, play football. That's what I'm saying.
He's going to be at the job blacking out of shit.
And no insurance is going to want to cover him. Obamacare now, but before this, no insurance. Who? What insurance company want that?
Well, you know, you got to know how to handle crises. And like Justice said earlier, one person that's really good at it, Dan Snyder of the Washington Redskins.
I didn't say he was good at
it. He said Tuesday, it's time for people to focus on reality concerning Native American matters instead of criticizing the team's nickname.
If he would just shut the fuck up.
like Justice said he does.
You
said he need to do like Dan Snyder. He don't talk about it. We understand the issues out there. We're not an issue. The real issues are real life issues, real life needs, and I think it's time for people to focus on reality. Challenged by those who consider the name Redskins offensive, Snyder said his staff recently traveled to Native American reservations and last month established a foundation to assist American Indian tribes, and he declined requests to answer questions about the foundation until Tuesday. Snyder has insisted he will not change the Redskins name, calling it a badge of honor. He did not directly answer when asked to respond to those who say the foundation is a way of throwing money at the problem to placate critics.
Mm-hmm.
He instead cited the work behind the creation of the foundation. I think it tells you that we did our homework, unlike a lot of people. A lot of those lazy people. Lazy, good for nothing. Redskin people. Snyder rarely takes questions from reporters, and his brief remarks came Tuesday at the ceremony at a local high school. The Redskins are donating 1/10 of the $1 million cost to refurbish the school's sports field. Asked about the Redskins' splashiest offseason move, signing free agent Deshaun Jackson, Snyder downplayed his role, distancing himself from his reputation of being actively involved in personnel decisions. So he said, listen, when you get a nigger like this, oh, I'm sorry. That's offensive. When you look at the fact that the head coach and the general manager said this is the right move, the only thing I can do is support it, and that's what I've done. It's been great. I spent a little time with him. He's a really good guy. So
1/10 of a million?
Mm-hmm. That's $100,000.
That's not a lot of money.
Yep. But that's not to say focus on reality, man. All right? Stop worrying about him using a racial slur for his team.
Y'all got bigger issues.
Five former Buffalo Bills cheerleaders sue for pay.
Damn it, Buffalo.
They lose all kinds of money.
They send in texts. They don't pay the cheerleaders. I guess they wouldn't own a texting list.
Well, fans for Buffalo, I guess you can know the ticket price is going up because they got to cover this somehow.
Maybe they were texting pictures of naked cheerleaders.
and not paying them.
They sued the team over a pay system they said where they had them working hundreds of hours for free at games and at mandatory public appearances at which they were subjected to groping and sexual comments. One said they had a jiggle test so their boss could see how firm their bodies were.
Said no cheerleader ever.
Number one.
Wow.
This is salacious, and they're adding more to it than they need to. You had me at work for free. Yeah. But you're full of shit for talking about y'all were subjected to groping and sexual comments. That's from the fans, and that's every cheerleader ever.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying it's okay. Dude, I'm just saying throwing it in the lawsuit is a low blow.
You go.
They let people talk about our titties, guys.
You're protesting too much now.
Right. Just because I go out here in a nipple ring doesn't mean you can talk about my titties. Y'all, you crazy?
But you can get anybody on your side by saying work for free.
Yeah, I was already, you had me at work for free.
Me too.
The rest of this shit is just people are assholes and you're scantily clad. That's just life.
But I wonder if they tried to play him in gift cards like they did in this lawsuit. What gear? Gift card you can use.
$75.
You can use at the Buffalo Bills online store. Or,
$75. $75, baby.
Or do
buy yourself something skimpy.
Oh Lord, do they do that thing that the Bobcats do have, like the cheerleaders on their monthly count, their yearly
right,
calendar?
Right, but that would be like if the Bobcats the Lady Cats came out and said they make us take pictures and for a calendar, and it's just not right, like. That's your job, though. Like, you
now
can't.
That part is your job.
You know,
yeah.
I'm a porn star, and it's just not fair. I go to the set, and they try to fuck me. And I'm just like, how are you just going to fuck me like this? Like,
but that's your job.
No. They fucking won't. You for free, I understand that's a problem.
Yeah, I can, too.
Fucking you for money that you agreed to is kind of not a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes fans will say, hey, I've seen your titties, and they never come out there, and the Bills never make them stop. Like, come on.
They don't offer me a kiss first.
Yeah, you're forgetting you're not that important. The state Supreme Court law is the third foul this year after a National Football League team by cheerleaders. Third? So other cheerleaders are suing?
Probably so.
Probably, I would have to assume probably the Washington Redskins. I mean, you know, we typically in the news a lot for all the wrong things.
That's right. Like, why don't y'all focus on the real thing, the problem with these Native Americans, okay? Stop worrying about us paying you for sexual harassment.
Yeah, and I would have to go with a Florida team. You pick one. Tampa Bay.
You pick one.
Jacksonville. You pick one. Yeah. It doesn't. You know, Miami Dolphins. It does. You pick one. One of them has to be. Maybe the Patriots, though. You know, the Patriot way.
It says we are Bills fans. I mean, wait. The case against the Bills says its cheerleaders, the Buffalo Jills, are wrongly classified as independent.
Jills.
Mm-hmm. Are wrongly Why? What's wrong with that, Karen?
Just sounds funny.
Oh. Are wrongly classified as independent contractors and are subjected to policies that violate the state's $8 per hour minimum wage law and other workplace rules. They are suing just to get minimum wage. Like, that's how little they want to pay them. Like, I guess they feel like some pimps. They're like, we pay these bitches. They start wanting the world. Now they want you to take them out to eat and shit. Two members of the Jill Squad held a news conference Tuesday with their attorney, Frank Dose. We are Bills fans. We definitely want our organization and other organizations in the NFL to respect the rights of these cheerleaders. The Bills cheerleaders aren't paid for games or practices and have to make 20 to 35 appearances, most of which are unpaid, at community charity events each season. The lawsuit said on top of that, they have to pay $650 for their uniforms and are not reimbursed for travel or other expenses, the cheerleader said.
Wow.
The time and expense, as well as rules governing their personal lives, far exceeded what they signed on for. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Once you told them they can't fuck players, it's like, well, what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
I mean, if one of these niggas ain't about to bring me out some change, I don't even want to be around this shit.
Then you don't even want to pay me minimum wage? Fuck you.
I get fired because I'm fucking Mario Williams? Really? Mm-hmm. The civil action, which seeks unspecified back pay and legal fees, named Stage On Productions Corp with the assumed management of the Jills in 2011, along with former management Citadel Communications Co. and the Buffalo Bills. So they're not discussing pending litigation. Go ahead, Justin.
I was going to say the Raiders is one of the teams.
The cheerleaders
that makes,
are identified.
That makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
That old man was cheap.
Cheerleaders are identified. He's dead. The cheerleaders are identified only by first names and last names and last initials in the lawsuit, which cites a provision that allows players to remove anonymous where identification poses a risk of retaliatory physical and mental harm. So people won't be walking around like, you bitch. Oh,
Ravens.
On Twitter.
Ravens.
You, cause people are that sports hungry, by the way. Mm-hmm. You cunt. You sued my favorite team. Mm-hmm. You unpaid slave bitch. Like, so what does that got to do with football though? Like, you can still pull for the Bills and I have a litigation against them.
Yeah, they're not gonna leave just cause they being sued by cheerleaders.
Yeah, calm down. But that's sad that you gotta actually take your last name out, cause these motherfuckers will find you.
Of course, and harass the fuck out of you.
Their complaint describes demeaning and degrading treatment, including being required to wear bikinis at various events, such as annual golf tournament, at which cheerleaders were auctioned off like prizes and subjected to degrading sexual comments and inappropriate touching. Let's see. Okay, here's the thing.
Well, then why isn't this a sexual lawsuit?
What are you talking about, Karen? Sexual lawsuit.
You know what's... Oh, go ahead, Karen.
No, I'm asking, like, if this stuff happened, why are we just paying for minimum wage? I mean, why are we just suing for minimum wage?
Well, I don't know that they're just suing for minimum wage. They said they haven't specified how much they're suing for, but it violates minimum wage laws, so they're not even making minimum wage.
Yeah, I'm reading where even at those appearances that they go to,
Yeah.
The team charges, a team might charge $300 per hour for those appearances. And the cheerleaders aren't getting any of that.
Wow.
And you know, it might be, it's not the whole team of cheerleaders. You know, it might be like one or two, but still.
Yeah, pay them something. They showed up.
I mean, the thing is, my issue is more with them not being paid. And I think they're throwing in other stuff that to me isn't as offensive as it would be. You know, like they auctioned us off like prizes. I've been to charity auctions.
Yeah.
People do that all the time. Not for cheerleaders, but you know, the model club is like how they raise money for charity. And it's a cute little fun thing. Nobody should be groping you or whatever, but people do say sexual thing, like, oh, she's hot or something like that or whatever. And that should be, you know, monitored or whatever, but they're making it sound like, you know, this is all like we don't even want to be treated like sexual objects, even though our role is to be sexual objects.
Yeah, that's unrealistic.
And I feel like that's so unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, what's the point of being a cheerleader? You should not be. They don't need cheerleaders, pretty much. See, I would do away with cheerleaders if I was this team.
See, I think they have the facts, but then they want to also play on the sympathy
right.
as well.
And the sympathy is where they lose me, because it's like, you had me at, I didn't get paid. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even need to, I was in a charity event, the guy said nice tits.
But see, I don't think other people have been listening to it. Like, a lot of people look at it as, well, you're a woman, you're dancing. I mean, what are you complaining about? You get to be on TV.
Right.
You know, you're doing, you know, you're out there for the team. And then once they add degrading to it, then you get maybe like those guys that want to be super saver, you know, superhero, you know, save a hoe or whatever. Those guys are like, oh, that's unjust. You can't do that. Then they get feminist causes involved.
Right.
Things like that. But, in this case, they just need, if they stick to the facts, they probably will have a better case.
They're hoping for feminist bloggers and shit to get involved.
Because if you're a stripper and you're like, I hate being objectified at work, people aren't going to listen to that argument. You're like, they're not paying me either. And, you know, if you just stick to they not paying me, you'll do better. You know what I mean? And they classify, a lot of times they put them in the same group because of how they dress.
Mm-hmm.
And they women. We already discussed they don't respect women in sports.
Wait, what do you mean? What same group?
They'll put cheerleaders in the same as a stripper or a net category. Yeah. They're not putting them in a category as a ballet dancer or
right. I agree. Carrie, you were gonna say something?
Oh, and my thing is this: I agree with you. If there ought to be a rule that if you're gonna have cheerleaders, pay them. If you don't want to pay them, cut them. Just don't have them out there.
Yeah, it's just pure stinginess. They could have, you know, they could afford to pay them. Yep.
Of course,
they could afford to pay $3 million of text messages. Come on.
Yeah, they'll just change the wording of their contracts, and now cheerleading will probably be a volunteer opportunity for you to get your name out there, get exposure to the industry.
Like it probably already is.
Like, yeah, they so
honestly, they it probably already is. Karen, what are you gonna say?
No, and I guess my thing is, like, you have institutions, and they've actually have had TV shows about this, about women trying out for the squads and shit like that. So
Dallas cheerleaders, they famous for it.
Yeah, so I know Dallas probably would never get rid of theirs. But you will have some teams that if they told them they had to pay them, they just wouldn't have them. Because what difference do they make other than they just shake their ass and titties in front of millions of people?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Like,
they're not playing.
Like, at the end of the day, you're going to lose people, or you lose me at the whole, like, we get sexually harassed. People, you know, they auction us off and for charity. It's like, but you are cheerleaders.
Now, I know
like,
that.
Like, I can't imagine, like, unless they're making you fuck the dudes or something, which would be in a lawsuit if it was.
True.
Someone, you know, quote unquote, buying you for charity for a date or an appearance, not really the same.
Now, the follower in the chat room is saying that because it's a lawsuit, you have to throw everything negative in there
to
make the price go up.
And because we're Balls D Sports, we're just examining the merits of each case. Like, we're not saying, like I said, I'm already on, like, they got me with the money.
Ain't that true?
Y'all don't even got to tell me nothing else. Pay me. I'm doing all this fucking work. Everything from standing in front of us with a clipboard telling us to do a jiggle test to see what parts of our body were jiggling. And if that wasn't something that she saw, you were getting benched. I mean, if that was something you saw, right, you're cheerleaders, guys, ladies.
Yeah,
you probably got a certain weight.
You're not fucking, they didn't get you for your work in the office or for you to do TPS reports. Your body is your job. True. And if you show up and you're jiggling where they don't want you to jiggle, you're fucking out of there. Like, I'm sorry.
Have they not seen a boxing fight and the weigh-in?
I don't know. This is hurting. Like, this is really hurting, like...
Like, that's what
cheerleaders,
happened.
This is really hitting that stereotype of cheerleaders being stupid. But them, some of this.
But them dudes show up in boxes. Some of them wear tighty whities and they had to get on that scale and they, you know, they prodded and checked, make sure they weighed the exact amount of weight.
Oh, we agree. I'm just saying, to me, it's a little different because, like, boxing, you do get to go in the ring and prove it. And if you fit, like, certain weight measurements, it's like, it doesn't matter what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it is attractiveness is part of the job. And it's like they don't, they want to, like, they want to act like that's the thing that's funny is like these chicks are complaining, but like if some fucking like 200 pound chick came out there, rolls all over the place and shit, every last one of these women would turn on her like a motherfucking shark. Like, oh, you gonna put her on the team over me? Yeah. I did, like, no, it does matter. It does count. It's just you want
to be a certain height. You have to be a certain weight.
Like that. Yeah. That I wouldn't have put. Like I said, I wouldn't have put some of this shit in my case. But I would just say I worked a lot, and these niggas ain't paying.
I searched for NBA cheerleaders that might be suing, and football came right up.
Right.
Oh Lord.
Lissa Yu estimated that she was paid a total of $420 during the 2012-2013 football season. Another cheerleader said she received $105. Cheerleaders said the attorney said they hope their legal action leads to policy change within the Bills organization to ensure future cheerleaders are paid and treated better.
I hope it does. They do need to get paid.
Whatever the NBA doing, they need to follow suit. Like I literally put NBA cheerleaders lawsuits and NFL came up. Like they can't. NFL got to fix that.
Yeah, maybe they pay them. I don't know. Cardinals player, speaking of respecting women, Cardinals player gets probation for assault plea. A judge on Wednesday sentenced Arizona Cardinals inside linebacker Darrell Washington to a year of supervised probation for assaulting a former girlfriend who was the mother of his daughter. Now Washington, one of the team's top defensive players, will wait to see what punishment he may face from the NFL under his personal conduct policy. I might miss a half of a preseason game. He was suspended the second half.
Yeah.
He was suspended the first four games of last season for violating the league's substance abuse policy. The 27-year-old pleaded guilty nearly a month ago in Maricopa County Superior Court to aggravated assault arising out of a May 1st argument with the woman. Authorities said Washington choked the woman and caused a fall that broke her right collarbone. Washington was sentenced by Judge M. Scott McCoy. Possible punishments for Washington have ranged from probation to 18 months in jail, though his plea agreement, which prosecutors called for probation. Investigators said the argument arose out of a visit that Washington paid to his daughter at the apartment where the child's mother lives. They said the mother panicked after Washington left the apartment with the child to go to a restaurant and wouldn't allow her calls to his cell phone. You're being petty. Once the child was back at the apartment, Washington left with the mother's cell phone, prompting her to run after him and strike his vehicle with a hand-woven basket. Washington shoved the woman as she tried to run towards the driver's side door of his vehicle, causing her to hit the ground and break her right collarbone.
Damn.
Washington, a second-round draft pick out of TCU in 2010, and started 53 games over four seasons for Arizona. He had 9 sacks last season and led the team in tackles in 2012 with 140, making the Pro Bowl that year. Last month, the Cardinals picked up Washington's $10 million player option. Shit. So, yeah. Darrell Washington, man. He's hard on these ladies.
Very hard, I see.
I'm sure he won't get in much trouble if Ray Rice is not gonna get in much trouble.
That foolishness.
That's Arizona though. You know, they do things a little different out there.
Masai Ujiri apologizes after a rally.
Bitch ass.
He was a general manager for Toronto. He is. They were doing a rally where they had tons of fans standing outside of the arena watching the game on TV as they shit the bed. But before going in, he said, oh, one more thing, and took the stage. Fuck Brooklyn at a fan rally. Awesome.
Ah.
He later went on to say, wrong choice of words out there. It's really not about me. It's about the players in the playoffs. Just trying to get the crowd out there rattled. Wrong choice of words. I apologize to kids out there and to the Brooklyn guys. Nothing against them. Just trying to get our fans going. That's it. He didn't answer any questions during the session and reiterated that he does not like the Nets. You know how I feel, he said with a chuckle. Thanks, guys. I apologize for not taking any questions, but you know how I feel. I don't like them. I apologize.
Yeah, he shouldn't apologize. He should have just accepted his fine and kept it moving.
He should have apologized.
Because he's going to get fined either way.
He got to apologize to the kids, man.
Can I speak on
the kids.
Speak on the what?
The benefits cheerleaders get for the NBA.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, man. Yeah.
NBA cheerleaders, they get a free guest ticket, free parking for the games. And then they said they get other fringe benefits. Not dental or medical, no. But they get travel taken care of, and they get a free personal trainer.
Oh, that's what's up.
That's true, especially travel arrangements. And
they make it like $150 a game.
And a free, what'd you say, a free what?
A free ticket to the game. A free trainer.
That's dope. And they get $150 a game, you said?
Yeah.
That's 42 home games. Wait, or 41 home games.
And that's at the larger arenas, mm-hmm. Like teams like Portland. Mm-hmm. They make about 50. Pacers, they make about 60.
But that ain't bad because it's so many games.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you have to have another job. You're not going to get paid to be a cheerleader full time.
Yeah. No. And then they mentioned other people that made it, like Eve Torres, Paula Abdul, Terry Hatcher.
Yeah, that's dope, man.
But they charge other fees for appearances. They get paid for their appearances.
Mm. There's this Kansas State player, Leticia Romero, mm-hmm. who wants to transfer, and the school won't approve it.
Why not?
She's a star guard, and they basically said, we're not going to approve it, so you have to sit out a year.
Who are you to determine if I made up my mind?
It's one of the rules in the NCAA, Karen.
Mm-hmm. The NCAA you support.
Transfer
who support?
You say the students get a free education. They just need
I don't know who you talking to.
That's what you said last week, Karen.
Come on, Justin. Mm-hmm. Justin, please don't do this.
Uh-oh.
Okay, this is another time.
You got me mixed up with that white man.
This is another time where Justin's talking trash to the wrong matchup. But anyway, man, it's just fucked up, man. She's a star guard at the Wildcats. And this is that punitive shit, man. When they say these kids get a free education, it's little petty shit like this that makes me be like, the NCAA is full of shit. Yep. You know?
They don't make coaches sit out. They don't make schools sit out. Because we got this thing where I don't know who the fuck's in whose conference no more because they play ping pongs with the conference for money. But schools, you don't tell universities, since you transfer, all your teams got to sit out for a year.
And they do it out of pettiness. Like, apparently the athletic department denied her initial request to transfer, which she made after athletic director John Curry fired the coach she signed with, Deb Patterson, and hired Jeff Mitty as her replacement. Romero of Las Palmas, Spain, decided her playing style wasn't a good fit for her new coach. You fired the coach that recruited me. I should be able to leave too. Mm-hmm. Nope.
And if she does stay her full time there, if she decides to stay and not sit out a year, she should also be like, yep. And these are all the illegal things that they do at that university. Mm-hmm. Like that's how I would get my get back. Like, you want to fuck with me and you want to mess up my career deliberately, or my wishes off of deception that you all are doing deliberately. No, it's going to be some consequences.
But then it makes you
then
it makes the next team not want you, and you have to live with that for the rest of your life. Like, it's a fucked up system. Like, I'm not saying, I'm petty enough to do exactly what you just said, but I'm just saying, like, it fucks up your future kind of, because especially as a female basketball player.
That's why I said, once she make it, like, once she out.
Yeah. That's just sales shady, but. Anyway, I just thought that was crazy. And especially like the coach don't really want you to play your game anyway.
Yeah.
So it's all out of pettiness. None of it is because like, actually you benefit us too much. It's like, well, I wasn't going to play your ass anyway, but I don't appreciate your attitude. You can't go.
It's like having another girlfriend and being keeping your other side chick and be like, well, you know, you can't see anybody else.
So basically, she loses a year of eligibility to play.
If she decides to go somewhere else. Yeah.
Yep.
Because she can't just sit out a year and go play somewhere else. You know, and she'll still, and even while she's sitting out a year, she'll probably still practice. She'll still have to go to the practices and do those other things that they might well have her do with the team.
Yep.
Hell out of this song.
Just sit the fuck back and enjoy the show.
New segment.
Oh snap, new segment.
This week in Swaggy P.
You know, when you're playing, that's really what came to my mind. Like, you just need to sit the fuck back and enjoy the show.
Swaggy P had the best night ever at the Kings game.
Go ahead.
I had to put this shit in the motherfucking chat room, man. They should. I'm thinking about calling him the Swag Mama. Like, really, man.
I like this Swaggy P dude.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not like him?
Like, he quickly just jumped into my top five favorite players in the NBA.
Once he came to the Lakers, I was all in.
Yeah. Like, I know Kobe probably hate this nigga. Like, he gotta hate him.
But, he probably sit back and love it, too. Like, oh, look at Swaggy.
Also, shout out to his boy, who's basically the Scottie Pippen of Swaggy P. Like, he don't, like, he in all the videos, everything, but he don't really try to take over the show.
No, I'm just here.
You got the best shoes.
Yeah. Nick Young's team may not be in the NBA playoffs. That didn't stop him from possibly the greatest night ever at a Kings game on Tuesday. He had his own custom King jersey. Say Swaggy P, man.
He that dude, man.
Oh my God, man.
Even though he knows what that nickname stands for. He just ain't saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he made it up for a reason. He got he gave it to himself for some reason.
What'd you think it mean?
Only thing when I think of P, and it's a good thing.
Swaggy pussy?
Is that pussy?
Swaggy and pussy.
Maybe he likes swaggy pussy.
Swaggy like, P? I don't know.
I guess that pussy.
Swaggy pimp? Swaggy penis? I don't know. He drove the Zamboni, dog. Sat on the Zamboni with the Bud Light sign, swagging it up as always. I'm putting all these pictures in the chat, man. This nigga is too good. Like, I don't know how you can hate the dude.
You know what it is? You know what it is, Ron? And this is all honesty. Like, this is, he's that NBA player that's living a life that you and I would want to live as an NBA player. Like, yes, I'm out here making money, and yes, I'm out here having fun, and you guys are taking this shit way too serious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he drove the Zamboni.
Right. Like, he enjoying life. He is living life as an NBA player, like, woo, as a young black man.
Yeah. I love him, man. I have no hate for this dude in my heart. I don't care what he does. I'm just glad I called this, because years ago when he was playing for Washington, I made my friend Agent Chris, who's a Washington Wizards fan, very upset with me. We went to the game together. And he kept shitting on Swaggy P. This back when he was just Nick Young. And I was like, I like Nick Young. And he was like, what? He's short. He shoot too much. There's nothing to like about him. I was like, no, he good.
I think then he was shooting shots over the backboard then.
Nah, it was good shots. Like, I was like, he the only nigga on the team that can score. Why are you hating?
Yep.
He was like, nah, man, he need to pass more, give it to Andre Blatch. I was like, man, if I was him, I'd shoot that shit every time.
Because it had him and that other big goofy dude, JaVale McGee.
McGee, yep. I'm like, I don't know why you hating, dog, but yeah. So I've been on the Swaggy P bandwagon before he was Swaggy P, so it's good to see him coming to his own, man.
He got a cute little girlfriend. Yeah. Do you know what he did to that pussy that night?
You know what I'm going to do to this?
That's what I'm telling you.
Whatever it was illegal. Apparently.
Swag.
I like
that. Why he don't have his own shoe out?
I hope so. I buy some Swaggy P's, and I never buy shoes that are name brand, but Air Swaggy P's. how do you not cop those?
Air Swaggy P's.
I had to go stand in line with the hoodlums and get shot.
Man, I bet you he had like a Tasmanian devil for his symbol or something.
We have to order him Amazon Prime. I ain't trying to get shot.
Yeah.
Something from Warner Brothers.
Hey Mamba. That's right, guys. Paul Gasol says, if there's anything or anyone who could make me stay for all Los Angeles, it's Kobe Bryant.
Of course.
His little brother, as Kobe has called him. He said, I've been in a similar situation for the last 2 years with one foot inside and the other outside. I'm not quite sure where I am at the moment. The good thing is I'm now the master of my own destiny. It's me that makes the choices, and that's a good situation to be in. Resigning for the Lakers is a possibility, but I'm not sure whether to stay, to say it's a remote one. If there's anything or anyone who could make me stay, it's Kobe Bryant. I'd stay for him, but there'd have to be significant changes. I've said it many times. I want to be in a team that has a solid chance to win another championship and where I can be an important factor in the game. Here's the thing.
He ain't staying there.
Kobe has made this man so much more confident. Remember when he got there from Memphis? He would have never had the audacity to say, I want to be a significant part of the game and I want to be on a contender. You wasn't contending when it was your team, baby. Y'all wasn't contending in Memphis. But you get to LA, you get a breath of the nightlife and the starlight and playing with actual greatness on your team.
You understand the Mamba system?
Yeah, now the only thing that can satisfy the hunger in Paul Gasol's belly is not just a championship, but being the key factor in winning the championship. He want to be a part of it, not just out there role playing.
He's not going to win it if he stay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he will. He might be on the bench doing it, but
why do you say that?
Because if D'Antoni's still there, and D'Antoni doesn't like us all, like he's not going.
It's a damn shame what happened to D'Antoni, according to Swaggy P. So we don't know that he's gonna be there at all.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that phone call really was when they was discussing changes.
Mm-hmm.
Them changes was what we got to do to get rid of D'Antoni, bro.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm staying. If he gone, I'm staying.
Read between the lines. One thing that can make me stay is Kobe Bryant. Not D'Antoni. Kobe Bryant. Just saying. Last thing, Kobe Bryant is going to be the star of a documentary. Did we talk about this already?
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm all in.
I know you and I talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it on the show. Or
I don't know if Spike Lee's supposed to be. I mean, Spike Lee not involved, so it's not that one. But it's one that's an all-access look into his life. Talk about, his family and all that shit. It's directed by a dude that's a Celtics fan, so I don't trust it.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. All right, well, then shit, that's it then this week, man. Thank y'all for coming out, Ball Z Sports. Hope you enjoyed it. This is a long-ass 3-hour episode. Shout out to the NBA playoffs.
It didn't seem that long.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock, man. I'm hungry. We'll talk to y'all next week. Justin, have a safe trip tomorrow. And rest of you guys, see you in a week or so. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.